much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
When you're in your 80s, rarely do you embark on a brand new profession, but we recently met up with some retirees in Centennial who are starting something brand new. They have caught the broadcasting bug.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I used to think that we were forever, ever, and I used to say never, oh, so he calls me up and he's like, I still love you, and I'm like, I mean, this is exhausting, you know, like, we're never getting back together, like, ever, nay.
F-M-L, comma, I'm going to kill myself, exclamation mark, lol.
Don't be vulgar. You know, I hate it when you're vulgar. Don't need to be vulgar to make your point.
You! And now.
Whatever happened to quicksand? Has anyone seen any quicksand lately?
Our feature presentation.
The guy brings up a good point.
Yeah.
What did happen to quicksand? Has anybody seen any lately?
That's what he said.
Oh.
That was actually his question.
Exactly his words. You just repeated it.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It's the 18th of July.
So when you're... smoke detectors, and I don't know, what's the terminology? Are they smoke detectors or are they fire alarms?
Don't care.
In your house.
Smoke detectors, I think.
What makes them go off when there's no fire or heat or anything?
What's just the random beep or an all-out beep, 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 beep?
Oh, worse than that. 100 times louder and just like you're living in a fire station. What makes that happen?
Huh.
At a 2:45 in the morning.
Oh, perfect. I don't know.
I gotta figure it out. I gotta figure it out.
Maybe Muggs went to the bathroom and then sprayed the aerosol to
That's
make it smell better.
Oh, that might have been it.
It happened
good
here.
Example.
Yeah.
Was it just one smoke alarm or all of them?
All of them.
Oh.
All of them in the whole house.
Well, are they all connected?
They've gotta be. I don't know. I don't know anything about how these things work, but I do know that then it goes off for about, I don't know, 30 seconds. And it's so loud, you know that everyone in the neighborhood is hearing it. It's that loud.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel terrible about that. And then it goes off and you go, whew, well, dodge that bullet. That's not going to happen again. And then 5 minutes later, they go off again. So then I have to go outside and drag a ladder in and start climbing up to the ceilings to take all of them down now because I don't know why they're going off and I need to stop them. So it's 3:30 in the morning at this point and I'm standing on top of a ladder trying to reach these smoke detectors.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong indeed?
Oh,
exactly.
No.
And you sure don't go back to sleep after that.
No.
How many did you take home?
I think we have 3 upstairs, 3 downstairs, and 1 in the basement. So there's 7 all told.
Well,
so I need to figure it out. I got to figure that out. That's because I don't like not having smoke detectors.
Right.
Sure.
But you don't want to put them up. And the batteries get changed to, you know, twice a year, so I don't think that's it.
Was your house on fire?
Oh, my house was not on fire.
Okay.
That's kind of where I started, is what makes it go off when there's no fire, no heat. So,
are they also, what is the air that you can't smell? Carbon monoxide. Dying a slow death?
I'm getting awfully sleepy.
Uh-huh.
Now,
slow death.
Rotten.
I have separate carbon monoxide monitors as well. So anyway, sorry to drag this make it your problem.
No.
But I can't figure it out. It's just.
Well, it's going to be our problem. Let's be honest.
It's not good.
Every problem that's your problem is somehow our problem.
Well, I do tend to share. That's for sure. In fact, before we get started, I know we have a very busy show today. I have to start with this story that just is the most terrifying thing I've ever read. Now, this was in the Seattle Times, I want to say, on Friday. But if it happens here, it happens there. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Rats don't crawl up toilets with regularity.
No, sir. No time.
Kevin, what's on the show today?
No, sir.
But for those unlucky enough to experience this,
we got to get the phone.
The memory bites. Listen,
you
guys have to hear about this.
We don't have to.
A Magnolia resident wrote in a note to the King County Public Health Department, "I now feel utterly unsafe in my own home. It's a life-changing experience if it happens to you, says Don Pace, a rodent control specialist for the King County Public Health Department. It does freak you out because you're not expecting it. King County provided a log of about 400 complaints about toilet rats over the last 10 years or so.
Toilet Rats is a great band.
The
who's with me?
Chip, you in?
Freaked out.
Toilet Rats? I was stunned by this number. The department deals with between 50 and 80 toilet rat scenarios every year.
Nope.
We try to tell people not to panic. All you have to do is close the lid and flush. The rat will try to swim back down or get tired and drown. It might take more than one flush to exile the furry intruders. Typically, Norway rats are around 6 to 8 inches long, 12 inches if you include their tails.
Oh, God.
Mr. Pace has been helping people vanquish toilet rats for more than 20 years. I feel like a superhero because everyone's so happy when they see me. By the way, has this ever happened to anyone you guys know where they've seen a rat in the toilet?
Never heard of it.
No, but this is my thing is that I think those thoughts and then I go, no, that's stupid. There's not a snake in there. There's not a rat in there.
Burn my house down.
Right.
Ugh.
Same.
Would you ever be able to sit on a toilet again?
No.
Allie, if this happened to you
one
time?
I'd never pee again.
Usually the story goes something like this. Heard a splash.
I would hang a swing from the ceiling so that I got like 4 feet between me and the toilet.
You would just start squatting on top of the toilet.
You
usually
didn't
the story
need that
goes like this.
Heard that's such a plop, right?
Heard a splashing noise at 1:30 in the toilet, looked in to see a rat doing laps. Within 5 minutes, it had disappeared. Another wrote in, I have the unfortunate duty to report that I found a rat in my toilet bowl this evening. It's quite alive and unhappy to be where it is. I tried using dish soap and flushing. If that doesn't work, I guess I'll have to look for heavy leather gloves to see if I can remove it that way.
Oh, my God. No.
Apparently, the dish soap, by the way, breaks the surface tension in the toilet bowl and makes it difficult for the rat to swim. But I would think you would want the rat to be able to swim because the best case scenario would be flushing it back down, right? I don't think you want it to just drown in your toilet, and then you've got to pull it out.
No. Both are terrible, but no.
This is the worst, Bean.
Yeah, I don't...
What is wrong with you?
It's the worst, right?
Why are you reading it?
I don't want a rat by my junk. That's not how you want to start the week.
Let me end on a positive note, by the way.
Is it?
That is...
This is more of a Thursday story, right?
Exactly. Let me end on a positive note. If you'd like to avoid having rats in your toilets, okay?
Yeah.
Rats are typically chasing food poured down a drain, but they detour to porcelain because they can't access the sink. In other words, they somehow know that there's food that you've poured in your sink in your kitchen. That's what they're trying to get to, but they can't get to it.
Ugh, they're so dumb.
Idiots. They're saying that you should regularly clean out your sink with a cup of baking soda or vinegar and rinse boiling water through it, and that ought to work to keep the food and food smells out of the pipes. And then maybe rats won't come to your house at all.
This was a fear I didn't even have, and now it's my only fear.
Well,
murder.
Yes,
murder.
And yes, that. You're right.
It sounds to me, based on this article, there's about a 50-50 chance there's a rat in your toilet right now.
I'm not positive those are the odds. I don't think those are the odds.
Just think about that.
I don't think those are the odds.
Think about him doing laps right now while you're at work, and he's just waiting for you to come home because he's hungry.
Ew.
Ew, indeed.
Right?
Stop. Let's stop doing this. Let's do something else.
Slow death. Slow death.
I'll take any death at this point.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Love the passion.
We have the we're going to announce the winner for the K-Rock sticker grand prize, which would be 21 pilots at your house and a brand new 2016 Honda Civic.
Nice.
So that's
this
happening.
Is beer mug showing up at your door and knocking, right? And
correct.
Giving you the prize.
That is correct, yes.
Pretty awesome.
Also, we're going to tell you about our next 21 Pilots thing, which is tickets to see them at the Forum and a meet and greet.
So much 21 Pilots.
That's happening today. Holly Holm is going to be in studio today talking about her UFC fight against Shevchenko.
Yeah.
I think that's her name.
Really?
Yep. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do on Mondays. A guy got caught cheating by playing Pokemon Go, and he ended up being in his ex-girlfriend's house. And that's how he got caught cheating, because he was playing Pokemon Go in his ex-girlfriend's house. And that's stupid, right? Who's with me?
I'm with
you.
Hey,
stupid. How about those guys in Florida who got shot at playing Pokemon Go this weekend? I guess there are worse things that can happen to you playing a game.
And also Zachary Levi coming in studio.
Zach!
Hey, Zach!
Hey, Zach!
What kind of voice was that?
Just I like him.
All right.
Zachary Levi talking Nerd HQ.
Okay.
And Comic-Con coming up this morning. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
I'll flow on.
All right.
Don't you worry, we'll all flow on.
All right.
I feel like they've got that covered.
No. It's like a sing-along. They want you to sing along.
I'm not positive.
They're inviting you to sing along.
In your car,
everybody's
maybe.
Like, all right.
Yeah. Hey, did we mention this, by the way, that also on the program today, we are giving away tickets to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl? Did we mention that?
We did not.
August 20th or 21st. Plus, you can see a private Coldplay performance at a beach house in Cape Cod, it says here. This is too much information for me to get my head around this early. But apparently, all the details are at krock.com, so keep on listening for that. 5:54, Monday morning, time for Ralph Garman. Hey, Ralph.
It's not like a chemical formula for nitroglycerin or something. It's just some bands and some cities. Why can't you wrap your head around it?
Just one band, two places.
Right.
We just give away so much stuff.
Right, but still.
It's a lot. A lot to keep straight.
It doesn't have to spin you out. Just read the copy, son.
All right.
You're a professional. Look it up.
Take it easy.
Good Monday morning, boys and girls. As we do every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Secret Life of Pets continued its onslaught as the number one movie in America for the second week. $50.6 million made number one. Had a chance to check it out with my little girl over the weekend. Boy, is that a great film.
Really?
So entertaining. Really well done. And the voices of Louis C.K. and Eric Stone Street and just everybody participated. Just charming as hell. Good time at the movie if you got a kid. Ghostbusters debuted with $46 million this weekend. Pretty good opening.
Saw it, loved it.
All right, there you go. The Legends of Tarzan was third. Finding Dory was fourth. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates came in at number five. The Purge Election Day came in at number six. Central Intelligence was seventh. The Infiltrator debuted with $5.2 million at number eight. The BFG was number nine. And Independence Day Resurgence, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, the Swift hit the fan yesterday, I got to tell you. With all this brouhaha over everyone realizing that Taylor Swift is a disingenuous liar. But then who could have seen that coming? Who would have thought that Taylor Swift would be a false, calculating, fake person? Who could have seen that? Well,
Katy Perry.
There was me.
Well, there was you.
And Katy Perry.
Right.
And everyone else who's paying attention. But it all stems from, you remember that Kanye West famously rapped about Taylor Swift in his song Famous. And he said, for all my Southside N-words that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. Goddamn, I made that bitch famous. And you remember the outrage. Outrage Taylor Swift had about that lyric. She went to, so much so she put it in her Grammy speech. Remember, she said people around you are going to claim that they made you famous, but you know that you got there and the people you love put you there, and that F those people.
I was angry for her.
Yes,
and
we
I
all
feel
were.
Betrayed.
We were all angry for her because she is America's sweetheart. And Kanye's like, but I called her, and I read her the lyric, and I ran it past her. And then she released it and said, no, he didn't. He asked me to release the song on my website, and I never knew about it. And bleh.
Did she say that last
More or
part?
Less, okay. Yeah. Here's the thing. She said she cautioned him about releasing a song with such strong misogynistic lyrics. She cautioned him. Said, you better not put that out. That's a misogynistic lyric right there. And people, when I get a hold. Then Kim Kardashian said in an interview, I was there. He called her. It was all fine. And I made a video of it. And then Taylor Swift camp quickly released a cease and desist letter saying, you better not ever show that video that doesn't exist. Well, Kim Kardashian did it anyway. She put up little snippets of it on her Instagram yesterday, and it's on. It is on. Here is the video in which Taylor Swift is on the phone. It's a conference call. Rick Rubin, the producer, is in the room as well. And here Kanye reads her the lyric in question.
For all my Southside that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex.
Now, what's your reaction, Taylor? How do you feel about that lyric? Taylor?
I think this is a really cool thing to have.
I know. Definitely. It seems like a compliment to myself.
It's a compliment, she said.
Huh.
Doesn't sound like you better not put that misogynistic lyric out there. Then, well, here, play this.
Yeah, I mean, don't whatever lines better. It's obviously very tongue-in-cheek either way. And I really appreciate you telling me about it. That's really nice.
Go with that, whatever lyric works best. It's obviously just tongue-in-cheek. And I really appreciate you telling me about it.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up.
And if you watch all the videos, it's all her saying, "That was so great," and, "Oh, you sent me those flowers, they're the best," and I Instagrammed them, and So, what's up? What's up? What's up?
Bean?
Good question.
Oh, you guys don't care what I think about this.
Come on, Bean.
You got your mind made up. You're not interested in the subtlety.
12-year-old pouting Bean is
no,
back,
I'm not,
everybody.
I'm not pouting.
Come on now. Hey.
Look, he's back. It's pointless. It's pointless to counterpoint. You guys already, you're all in.
I'm just wondering what you can counterpoint with.
Well, I mean, Taylor never heard the song and never heard the lyric that was offensive to her. Kanye didn't read that part of the song to her about calling her a bitch. That's the part that upset her.
That is a good point, Bean.
I still don't think it makes her look very good. But
because she's a lying liar who lies
and a farter and a racist.
Oh, no.
But I think that is an important distinction, that the part that was upsetting to her, the part that she thought was misogynistic, is the part that Kanye neglected to read for her. And she had asked to hear the song before it came out. And he also declined that. So I think that's why she was.
What about her denial that he never ran the idea past her or the lyrics, or that the only reason that he ever was in contact with her was just to release the single on her Twitter account?
Good point, Ralph.
I feel like she felt like she would approve the song when she heard the song, or at least heard all the lyrics. That's all. But I think it's a distinction that it's easy to criticize her for. I think she played it very badly.
I feel like she's a mean girl.
I do have this question that is really more important than whether you're Team Kim or Team Taylor, and that is, isn't Snapchat the worst way to record a phone call?
I think that's how she released it. She didn't record it on Snapchat.
You don't think so? Okay.
No, she recorded the whole thing.
And then she released snippets of it via Snapchat and Instagram. Yeah.
Because it was certainly annoying to have to listen to it in 5-second increments.
That's how I felt listening to her, too.
Yeah. Annoyed.
So what happens next, you guys?
Well, death penalty.
Right, that's what I'm thinking, right? Murder button.
Yeah.
Don't we haul out the murder button? Put it on the trolley and bring it out here. Can we haul that out?
Murder.
And I also want to ask, Ralph, because I know you've had a continuing, evolving relationship with your love for Tom Hiddleston. What's going through his mind right now as he's being dragged into this nonsense?
Yeah, I'm done with him. He's finished.
Is he dead to you?
Yeah. Because he's got to know who she is. He's spending all that time with her.
Yeah.
He's got to know what she is. And if you're still with that and you know, then you're not a good person either. Yeah, he's finished. Here's my thing about Taylor Swift. Regardless of whatever picayune details were there, well, she didn't get the third lyric of the thing. She's completely disingenuous, and everything is calculated and manufactured to make her look sparkly clean and often the victim. She's always at odds, and people are always coming at her, and haters going to hate. But the truth is, she is knee-deep in all of this stuff, and there's all these machinations going on that it's a very calculated attempt for her to build and structure her career. It's just, that's always been my problem with her. I didn't buy it from the first, oh my God, I won an award moment, all the way through this. It's just layer after layer of artifice, and I resent her opinion of trying to position herself as a victim constantly when she is fully in control of all these things. I don't buy it.
I can see that
I'm
point
with
of
that
view.
Guy.
I can see that point of view.
And murder, too.
I murder.
There we go. Today's celebrity birthdays, Richard Branson, 66. TV show host Wendy Williams. Hiya, da. Wendy, she's 52. Vin Diesel's 49. MIA is 41 years old. Darren Malakian, a System of a Down, turns 41 as well. Kristen Bell. Oh, I love Kristen Bell. I had salt and pepper shakers made like our fasses.
She used to come on our show.
Yeah, remember those good old days?
And then Dave made salt and pepper shakers, and then no more.
right. of their images together as a couple.
That's not weird.
No, not at all. Priyanka Chopra.
Ooh.
The lovely and talented actress, star, of course, of Slapdown.
Is it Quantico?
Quantico.
Yeah.
That was the working title. I remember when it was still in the pilot stage. I remember they were calling it Terrorist Slapdown. She's 34 years old. Chase Crawford's 31. And Saul Canelo Alvarez, great boxer, 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. This July, spend $25 at participating Napa Auto Parts stores, and they'll not only donate a dollar to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund.
1 hour from right now, our own beer mug could knock on your door with a new car, a 2016 Honda Civic XL, and also 21 Pilots coming to your house for a private performance. We gave away the qualifying prizes all last week, and today's the day we unveil the grand prize just after 7 this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Let's talk to our new friend, Sean Welby, shall we?
Oh, I love Sean so much.
Good morning, Sean.
Hello. Hi, good morning. How are you?
We're very good. Thank you.
Oftentimes, you're doing the weather in Britain, and you don't expect you're going to become a worldwide celebrity from it, but you have figured out a way to make me care about the weather in Britain, Sean. Well done, you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I definitely never expected it to be this global. It's been surreal.
How long have you been on Channel 5 there in the UK?
Nearly 6 years now.
Oh, my. And how long ago did you start doing the thing that made you famous, which is working pop culture references into your forecast?
Well, to be honest, I've always been doing silly little dares all the time. But it started off as one or two words. I used to get Twitter followers to give me a word to sneak in on a Friday. I just used to use the hashtag DareSean on a Friday. And we'd get, you know, they might give me a weird word like banana or ninja or, I don't know, catapult or anything. And I used to just try and get the odd word in. And then it became sort of like song lyrics and maybe the odd TV show or, I did one that's got a few Breaking Bad references in and stuff like that. And then it just evolved. And then, of course, the big one I did was Star Wars. And that's when I realized, wow, people really love this.
People really do. Now,
we have a little of the Star Wars.
Oh, great. Yes. Yeah.
This is you working in all kinds of puns based on Star Wars.
Hi there. Well, it's another unusually mild day today with a layer of cloud covering the UK. But if you look farther west, you will be seeing a glimmer of sunshine if you're Wookiee. However, there will be a fairly light breeze. The force is strong, though, for northern Scotland. And then tonight, the weather strikes back as a deep area of low pressure pushes in from the west, creating storm-like conditions for Northern Ireland and western Scotland. Don't be a trooper. Please take care on the roads. Could be difficult driving conditions. Now,
And Sean, that's the one that you went all in on, and really just before airtime, I understand.
Yeah, it was one where I suddenly realized it was the UK premiere, and I was only reminded because somebody needed to use the studio straight after the weather. So it made me think, I should really do a Star Wars tribute, seeing it's got so many fans, it's such a big film. And so literally 10 minutes before I went to air, I thought of as many references as I could. I had people in the gallery studio shouting, like, you know, you've got to say Stormtrooper or you've got to get Wookiee. And I was just weaving it into my forecast I'd already written. And I found that for some weird reason, it's really easy to do puns in weather forecasts. It's like they were meant to go together.
So you don't usually write out a weather forecast, do you? Isn't it just kind of live off the top of your head looking at the maps?
It's a mixture. I normally get sort of all my data in the morning, and then I turn it into a script that I sort of handwrite, and I use just before I go on. I normally have a glance at it and get the weather in my mind, and then most of it is by looking at the charts and sort of ad-libbing the rest.
So because I think one of the reasons it works so well is it's effortless the way you do it. It doesn't seem forced at all. It just comes across so effortless. How did it even become that way?
I think because of having to sneak them in before. I think I've always tried to, you know, I didn't want my bosses to catch wind of what I'm doing. So for a while, I was trying to do it so subtle, just so that if anyone ever pulled me up on anything, I'd be like, what? I didn't do anything. So I think it's from sneaking them in for so long that actually I've got a real knack of making them sort of fit in and blend in quite well.
I wanted to bring up your bosses. Did they ever call you into the office and say, what are you doing here? What's happening? Why are you doing this?
I had a few people said, you know, sort of raised an eyebrow when the forecast was played out and said, did she say that? But, you know, it's all over and done in 40 seconds or 60 seconds, and then it was gone. So it was only when the first time I tried it was we had like a Back to the Future Day, which I'm sure you did in the US as well.
Yep.
And so it's one of my favorite films. And I did say to them, we were doing a news special anyway. So I said to them, oh, you know, can I really drop a load into the forecast? And they were a bit hesitant, and they made me record a different version just in case they didn't dare put it on air.
Oh.
So I'd recorded a one full of puns and then one that had nothing in it, and they played the one with puns in it. It went down really well with my followers and Channel 5. And then from then, they've kind of been waiting for me to do another one. And especially after Star Wars, they were like, right, you can do whatever you want. It's fine.
This the voice of Sean Welby here on The Kevin Bean Show. She's a TV host. She does the weather for Channel 5 in the UK. And we fell in love with her all over again just last week with her Ghostbusters weather forecast. I think we have some of that as well.
Hi, I'm Sean Welby. So I'm afraid you'll need your parka this afternoon with scattered showers expected in between the odd ray of sunshine. Clouds will stay puffed today, so in the heavy downpours of rain, don't cross the streams or rivers unless it's safe to do so, as there could be some local flooding on the roads. If there's something strange in your neighbourhood, who are you going to call? The Met Office. Now, as you'll be pleased to hear, a lot of the showers goes away tonight, but keep hold of your wig. The winds pick up in the west, and tomorrow morning you'll have to figure out whether or not to wear your wellies as you weave around those puddles like a pro. Tons of heavy showers may halt many of your outdoor plans, so you might want to do something indoors until this bad weather goes away. But don't worry, you'll be happy to know we've got a brighter start on Wednesday in the east.
You know what I love about that is that if people don't know you're doing it,
no idea.
No idea. Because you do it so effortlessly that it's just they probably most people miss it, I would imagine.
Well, this is what I hope in a way. It's nice that it does its job. Like, you would get your forecast. It's accurate. Mm-hmm. So it's still giving you some facts. But I like the fact that, you know, a true fan might pick up one or two. A real fan will pick up the really subtle ones. And I always make sure that I do a few. You know, really, I don't want to say geeky, but I suppose it is in a way. Like, I like to fit the ones in that the true hardcore fans will spot. And that's quite fun because then it makes it difficult for the average listener. It might totally go over someone's head who doesn't have a clue what I'm on about. And then for the real fans, it's like a bit of a hunt for the puns. And in that one, there were 22.
22, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time here, Sean, but I have to ask.
Okay.
Anytime you're in media, on radio or on television, there is some viewer or listener out there who complains. Has there been anyone who is so into the weather that they feel like you are disrespecting it and they're writing angry notes to your
boss? Who's that much into the weather?
I'm very, very lucky. I've said this before, that I actually did think there'd be a backlash from somebody, whether it would be fans of the movie or, viewers saying, you know, what has happened? Is Sean okay? She's speaking in gibberish. But I've been so overwhelmed, actually, with the positive reaction.
Wonderful.
From, I would say, 99% of everyone. So it's just been lovely, really. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, we really enjoy it here. And we have the video for folks who haven't seen Sean's work. We have it on KROQ.com and the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. Do you have any idea what the next one's going to be, Sean?
Well, I've had a few requests. A lot of people want me to do Game of Thrones or Suicide Squad. That movie's coming out in August.
Oh.
So we'll have to wait and see. It's just one of those things that when it feels right, I'll do it.
All of a sudden, a lot of pressure.
Right?
That's right.
Now, yes, a lot of pressure.
Now the bosses are calling you in and going, what's next? We got to get to the next one.
Well, yes, please exactly. Keep doing what you're doing. It's wonderful, Sean. We really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
No, thank you so much for having me on the show. This has been so awesome for me. This is cool.
Thank you. We had fun.
I think about how many times during his presidency, President Obama has been called to the podium to calm a nervous nation when something bad has happened. And I think that's the role that Harvey Levin is going to have to play for us here because we're in turmoil right now with this Kim Kardashian versus Taylor Swift.
I love it.
We need somebody to talk us through it and make us know that it's okay to feel. Hey, Harvey.
It is okay to feel.
Okay, good.
It is okay to feel.
So how about this? This is a bomb going off, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you. We have known about this since February.
Is that right?
You mean you've known that the tape existed?
We knew very well the tape existed. Mm-hmm. We're about to put up on the website that... I believe the reason this didn't come out earlier is because Taylor Swift threatened Kanye with criminal prosecution for secretly recording her without her consent.
Okay, now you're a lawyer. Tell us if that holds up.
Well, I will say this, that my understanding, Taylor was in California, and she is protected under this privacy law, and you can prosecute somebody for an illegal recording. And the lawyer for Taylor Swift wrote a very clear letter, which we have, which was dated February 17th, in which he threatens, directly threatens him. And this thing never came out. And we kind of looked at it and made a decision that, you know, she couldn't, they couldn't do this, but they did it. And Kim did it. And that to me, you know, as a lawyer, that's maybe the most interesting part for me. The pop culture part of this is that Taylor and Kanye were in a feud because she mentioned, he you know, refers to her in the song Famous, and he says, I made that bitch famous, and I was going to have sex with her, and she says that she never gave consent in advance. He says she did. This tape shows she did. However, he never tells her he's going to call her a bitch. And that was something she really had a problem with. So Taylor's right on that count, that Kanye never said, I'm going to call you a bitch. He did have the conversation with her. So, you know, and who's right, who's wrong, it's a little bit murky.
But when
right,
she got up...
It's turned into all-out war.
I know, I love it. When she got up at, was it the Grammys? And gave her a speech where she's saying other people will say they made you famous. And she goes on and on and on about that. I mean, she wasn't complaining about the word bitch there.
Well, she also says in this tape that we got the full tape that we put up on the site a little bit ago, and in the tape she says, you know, this will be great. I'll walk the Grammy red carpet, and everybody will say, "Ooh, you're in a feud with Kanye," and then I'll say, "Hey, I gave him approval in advance." Mm-hmm. So she kind of busts herself in that. So
right, but she also thought she was going to be giving approval to hearing the finished song or at least seeing the finished lyrics, which she never did, as you pointed out.
Now,
Harvey,
have you guys seen what's going on between Khloe Moretz and Khloe Kardashian?
Oh, I want to get to that in a second. I have to back up, Harvey, because I need further clarification on the recording aspect of this tape, and that is certainly the E! Lawyers must have had this discussion before they put it on TV. Is there any liability for them or for you putting it on the site or for us playing it on the radio if we know it's an illegally recorded call?
Not us, because we didn't record it. We didn't ask it to be recorded, and Kim's already made it public.
Okay.
But
so we're in the clear.
But in terms of Kim doing it, it could be a problem.
Okay. All right. Bring us up with up to speed with Khloe Moretz, and also Selena Gomez has been dragged into this. Katie is in this now. Everybody's commenting.
Guys, this is unbelievable. So early this morning, Khloe Moretz posted something saying that get your heads out of a hole and look at what's really going on in this world. So Khloe then posts a picture of what appears, or at least what she believes, is Khloe Moretz with her butthole exposed laying on a raft in water.
This is Khloe Kardashian posting that about Khloe Moretz.
Correct. The problem is she has the wrong butthole.
Harvey, do you hear the words that are coming out of your mouth?
I don't know how else to explain. What do you want me to say?
No, I'm saying this is what we're about now as a world. We're talking about people's buttholes that might or might not be said person's butthole. Like, what is happening in this world?
No, I mean, look, and my thing about it is that I went to law school for this.
Yeah. What?
I mean,
oh, my God.
So Khloe Moretz's response, though, is what, Harvey?
Well, the response is it's not Khloe Moretz, because the picture that Khloe Kardashian posted, I assume she thought it looked like her, but you see very clearly in the picture that Khloe Moretz was in, she's wearing a blue bikini bottom, and the picture of the girl the butthole is, well, she's got a red bikini bottom on.
This is butthole gate, essentially.
It certainly is, yeah.
This is the best story ever.
And then Selena gets dragged, you know, because she's defending her best friend of the world, Taylor Swift, and then she gets into a Twitter feud with a whole bunch of Black Lives Matter protesters.
Wait, what?
That got very ugly, right, Harvey?
Yeah, I mean, and then Katy Perry's getting involved in this thing, too. It is like a battle royale. You know, in WWE when they have like 19 people in the ring?
Yep.
It reminds me of that right now. I just, there's going to be a last person standing. I just don't know who it is.
This is going to make one heck of a video. Am I right, Harvey? Who's with me?
Still? You still think the whole thing is
interesting. Oh, yeah.
Harvey, who, in your opinion, who gets hurt by this coming out the way it is? I think it looks terrible for Taylor.
All of them. I think it's terrible for Taylor, for sure. But I think it's terrible for Kanye, too. I mean, it's juvenile. It's wrong. I mean, that he's secretly... And when you watch him, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's secretly recording this woman. That's a butthole thing to do, and I wish I could see the other.
Wow.
You know what? It's great for buttholes.
I'm sorry, but it is.
Right?
It is a terrible thing.
I feel like we reached our butthole quota for the week.
tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, yeah, but here's the thing though, Harvey, and tell me if I'm wrong about this. Is it's on point for Kanye's brand though. This is what he does. Is he's
no,
the guy?
No,
who,
no, 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 no.
He does it's whatever not, he wants and doesn't care whether he doesn't mind playing the villain. So I don't think it really hurts him that much.
Yeah, but you know what? When he's secretly recording her this way, I'm sorry that if there's a difference between Kanye West, you know, taking a position on some social issue or whatever, and then doing something like this. I got to tell you, when he just to watch the smirk on his, you want to wipe the smirk off his face when he's recording her this way. It really, I don't know, I find it really offensive.
How did Rick Rubin sleep through that whole thing? Did you see him in the background just asleep?
No. He's done a lot of meditation. He's a pretty mellow dude. So.
Good point.
All right. Well, what's next on the site? What's the next chapter of this that's going to be posted, Harvey?
Well, I'm about to put this letter up that we got that was February 17th. So you're going to see this letter. And now the question is, what will Taylor Swift do legally, if anything? Because they were really pissed about this.
I feel like even if she's that angry and she has grounds to sue on or press charges or whatever, it makes her look so bad. Maybe she just wants it to go away.
I'm telling you, it makes everybody look bad.
All right, it
makes everybody.
Is it
look
possible
bad.
To make Kanye look bad or worse than he is?
Kanye has been pretty awesome in the last year.
Take
really
it
has.
Easy.
What?
What's happening?
I think Kanye.
Put
Kanye
Harvey
really
on the
can.
Phone.
I don't know who this imposter is who keeps talking about buttholes and Kanye being awesome. All right,
Harvey's
going to
be mad when he hears this.
TMZ.com is where you want to follow Taylor and Kanye Gate. And don't forget, TMZ all over your TV all week long. You know that. All right, thanks for coming on, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
It's the return of our friend Zachary Levi coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. Also, Holly Holm, former UFC champion, is going to be on the program later on today. And we're going to give away that, as we mentioned, that brand new Honda. And the 21 Pilots coming to your house just after 7 o'clock. Beer mug in location, you guys. It's going to be knocking on somebody's door. It's going to be very exciting.
Unless no one answers.
Unless
and then
no
it's
one answers.
Oh, that's completely better.
Yeah, it's really going to be a
leave
big plus.
Leave them a note, bugs.
First, though, Huntington Beach, you guys. One of the most beautiful places in all of Southern California. I'll tell you something, man. If I could live anywhere in Southern California, I think I might choose Huntington Beach.
I feel like that's the way most people feel.
Yeah,
so why do they need a new slogan? Their slogan is Surf City.
Yeah,
Surf City.
Why would you need a new
That's
one?
Perfect.
They are famous around the world as being Surf City. And they still thought, you know what? It doesn't tell the whole story. So they commissioned a group out of Texas to do some research and come up with a new slogan. And they have unveiled it as the Soul of SoCal. Again, the Soul of SoCal. It doesn't exactly come off the tongue like Surf City does.
Surf City seems perfect.
It seems perfect.
Yeah.
But look, what do we know? We don't know anything about anything. So we asked Dave, who could we talk to about this? And I think we have Carl Ellsworth on the phone. He is with the Capital Advertising Corporation. Mr. Ellsworth, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, sir.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are the one who came up with, or your company came up with, the Soul of SoCal.
That's Capital Advertising. We came up with it, the Soul of SoCal.
And it looks like it costs...
The Soul of SoCal.
Right.
Looks
like
it
costs...
It sounds great. The Soul of SoCal.
Well, you sound enthusiastic while saying it, but it says that it was a long and quantitative and qualitative research process that cost the city around $35,000.
Yeah, they got up cheap.
Really?
Cheap?
Yeah, come on, we do great work. We're Capital. Capital Advertising. The Soul of SoCal.
SoCal. But Carl, very few people call it SoCal, and no one really says the soul of anything.
Ah, come on. Come on, my soul brother. Yeah.
Yeah, that brings up a good point. Soul. You don't really think of one of the whitest cities in the U.S.
Oh, racist,
as,
I see.
Well, well, I'm just saying.
Okay, racist.
How much soul does Huntington Beach have?
All of it. It's the soul of SoCal. I don't know if you heard or not, but Huntington Beach is the soul of SoCal.
I don't... define soul.
The soul of SoCal.
You just keep saying it.
The soul. The soul is the part of the inside of you where love lives. That's your soul, lady.
Where love lives. Okay. What about
I'm
that? That's better.
One, but Huntington Beach is the soul of SoCal.
Right.
Okay.
But you saying it is not going to mean it's going to catch on.
We
people
worked
are
long and hard on the soul of SoCal, and people love it.
Okay, but what was wrong with Surf City, USA?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with Surf City, USA. If it's 1957, all right, Jan and Dean, why don't you go get in your Woody and put on your baggies and go down to Surf City, you old bastards. It's a new world. It's the soul of SoCal.
Mr. Ellsworth, when you're trying to come up with a new slogan,
yes.
do you come up with 100 of them and then just choose...
Why did we're a company. We don't just slap this stuff on a bumper sticker and sell to somebody.
It sounds like you just slapped
we
it on.
We work hard and long on the soul of SoCal.
Okay.
All right. All right, Mike Love and Brian Wilson.
But this was the best. This is the best one you can come up with.
Of course it's the best one. We got a bunch of choices. Listen, the problem is people aren't going to the beach anymore. You know why? Because, oh, look out. It's bad for you. Oh, don't go here. Don't go there. Oh, the sun. Oh, the surf. Oh, the water's polluted. Oh, it's dangerous. We had to get people excited about the sand and the surf again, about the sun. You know, it's not easy. How about we went through plenty. I'm trying to get people to forget about all the dangers, like Huntington Beach. Melanoma? Melayesma?
Yeah, that's not good.
How about that one? Don't worry about the sun.
Okay.
Get out there. Hey, on the beach. Get some sand in your crack. How about that one?
Okay.
That's a slogan.
All right. Doesn't
okay.
seem like a good one.
You
not
know,
positive.
Huntington Beach got a lot of aquatic life. We're trying to play off of that for a while. Hey, here's a new T-shirt. I got crabs in Huntington Beach.
Well, yeah.
Crab City, USA.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think so.
Hard pass.
Listen, how do you stand out when you're a beach in Southern California? How many beaches are in Southern California?
Quite
it's
a
like,
few.
There's like three. There's a
well,
lot of beaches.
I think there's a lot more than three.
I don't know anything about it. I'm in Texas.
Okay.
But, all right, we use this one. Huntington Beach. Less use syringes than Santa Monica.
Well.
Right? If you're going to make a choice, you got a beach with a lot of syringes and a beach with no syringes.
Right.
Which one are you going to pick?
Probably
well,
no.
No syringes.
Full of
yeah.
SoCal. How about this one? Huntington Beach. We still might have sex with Taylor Swift. We made that beach famous. We ran that past Taylor Swift earlier. She was fine with it. She loved it.
That's
and if
news.
You happen to know, we've got a mascot, too. Huntington Beach has a mascot.
A mascot?
What? Yeah. The soul of SoCal's mascot is Mike the Beach Ball. Mike the Beach Ball. He's around here someplace. Is Mike hunting around here?
Mike Huntington.
Mike
oh,
Huntington,
dear.
Are you around? Where's Mike Huntington?
Yeah, that...
I feel like...
He has a last name?
Yeah, Mike Huntington.
Okay. I've got to do a
Huntington
focus group
Beach.
On that. I
right.
For some reason, they didn't like that one.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51. Dave did put up a Twitter poll on if you're Team Taylor, Team Kanye, or Don't Care. And Don't Care is winning by a landslide right now.
Thank God.
So should we be encouraged by that?
I think we should have put up Mutual Destruction as one of the options.
Both go down.
Like
right?
like everyone involved in the story
yes.
has a suicide pact.
I love it.
You're hoping for?
This is
all
the
right.
best. 6:51, it's Monday morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for a brand new week. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the show. But speak good morning, Ralph.
The thing is, everyone's trying to make some sort of point between, oh, they're both awful. It's the lesser of two evils. Taylor Swift is awful, but Kim Kardashian's also awful, and Kanye West is awful. How can you choose? Here would be my point, is that, yes, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are awful. But, and I never thought I'd say these words, to their credit, they are unabashedly awful. They
right.
never
yeah,
try
they
to,
pretend not to
appear
be.
That they are anything else but the awful, self-centered, narcissistic, egomaniacal, self-involved, horrific human beings that they are. They never pretend to be otherwise.
Yeah, they're cool with
that's
that.
A good point.
They put themselves right on Front Street and they say, we are awful and rich and arrogant and we love us and F you people. At least they are upfront about it. However, I would position Taylor Swift as someone who likes to be like, oh, I'm America's sweetheart and oh, why is everyone so mean to me and I'm a victim and haters going to hate and oh, what? I won an award. She is false on almost every level. And that's why this glimpse behind the scenes with this surreptitiously recorded phone call is awesome, because you get to see behind the curtain. This is the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. You get to see the wizard pulling the levers. And it's all manufactured and it's all created. And she's no spring flower.
She's a lying liar who lies.
She's a lying liar who lies and a racist and a farter. I think we've established that with all that's been going on.
Love what he just said.
She is, of course, we're talking about this leaked conversation between Taylor Swift and Kanye West, where he ran, at least seemingly, some of the lyrics from Famous that she, after the fact, said were misogynistic and she was wildly offended by. And in the course of the phone call, they seem very chummy and very friendly. And it's not like she says, you know what, why don't you send me the whole song when it's finished, because I'm not sure about this. She's like, oh, use whatever line you want. It's all tongue-in-cheek, and it's kind of a compliment that you say you might still have sex with me.
I feel like she acted like she was most upset about him saying that he made her famous. Like, that, to me, was the worst thing to her. And they do talk about that on the phone. That's awesome.
She said in her Grammy Award speech that people will try to claim that they make you famous,
right,
but you know you did it yourself, and it was you, and that you'll have strength from that or whatever. As if it was all surprise. And then the other camp said, but we ran it past her. And then her camp said, well, no, they didn't. They asked to put the song up on Twitter. It's the only conversation we had. And now we find out that there is more conversation. And now she's saying it's because of the bitch. The bitch word was the thing that really upset her.
Oh, that was the offensive part?
That was the offensive part. And he didn't mention bitch to me. And who could imagine a rapper saying bitch, first of all? She must have been shocked. I think we were all blown away when the word came out of Kanye's mouth. No one expected that kind of language. So it's just, here's the thing. If she had come out and said, yeah, he called me about it, but I didn't know he was going to call me a bitch or whatever. If she had gotten up in front of it.
Yeah, and just said that. Just right. That is, I didn't hear the whole thing and I wish I had, or anything. Anything other than we had no conversation.
So we were never supposed to hear this conversation because Taylor Swift's camp found out about the video and threatened legal action against Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. And I don't know why they decided to risk it, but they posted it anyway. And here's a little audio. Here is Kanye reading her. It's hard because it was posted in quick little segments.
On Snapchat, yeah.
On Snapchat. Mm-hmm. So we tried to stitch together best we could. But here he is on the phone with her reading at least a portion of the lyrics from Famous.
For all my Southside that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex.
And she seemed less than offended, because here she says what a compliment it is.
I think this is a really cool thing to have.
I know, definitely. It seems like a compliment kind of.
It's a compliment.
It's like a compliment.
You might have sex with me.
It's a compliment.
And if you watch all the videos, she goes on and on about how you're so great, and you sent me flowers, and I posted them on Instagram because I love them so much, and it's so cool of you to call me, and we're all pals, and kumbaya. They sing at some point. I think they sing kumbaya together.
I didn't hear that
I'm
part.
I'm pretty sure they
okay.
do.
Yeah, I mean, don't whatever like better. It's obviously very tongue-in-cheek either way. And I really appreciate you telling me about it. That's really nice.
It's really nice, and it's wonderful, and I never expect you to tell me a line in your song, she says, and for you to ask me if I'd be okay with it, I really appreciate it.
By the way, he didn't have to run it by her.
No.
And he did.
Right.
So she's the devil. That's the takeaway.
Well, I think that's the only possible conclusion you can come to, that she is somehow in league with Satan.
Okay, good.
Yes. I mean,
what even?
Right?
God!
Right?
I believe it was last week it came out that Keeping Up with the Kardashians' lowest ratings ever. For their series, obviously this is well-timed.
Ah.
Look.
Right?
I do not think that the Kardashians don't believe they will benefit by the by the publicity of this either. So perhaps that's the reason they dared to risk actual litigation or criminal charges by posting this recording, which by all accounts she did not know she was being recorded during this phone call. But it is a fascinating glimpse, I think, into the actual inner workings of a pop music machine. And I think she's a little bit more in charge and in control of what happens to her publicly than she would lead us to believe. So anyway, it's the most important thing in the world.
It's the most important thing in the world.
That much we know.
Sure.
That's for certain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and that's saying something. the fact that Donald Trump's going to be our next president.
We've almost forgotten that today.
This is more important.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw at the RNC, the Republican National Convention, which is happening as we speak in Cleveland, Ohio. Stephen Colbert is there to cover the convention. By the way, he is covering it with an old friend of his. I don't know if you heard or not.
I did
not. But Jon Stewart will be doing the coverage with Stephen Colbert.
Wonderful. So
that's pretty cool. Awesome. Colbert apparently crashed the convention.
He crashed it?
Yes. Before it got started, he jumped up on the stage dressed as Caesar Flickerman, the fictional character from Hunger Games, the host of the Hunger Games, and went up to the podium with a gavel. And you can hear the audio. They shot the video. Here's the audio of him launching the Republican Hunger Games.
He has formed an alliance with Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Sorry, I blacked out there for a moment. So it is my honor to hereby launch and begin the 2016 Republican National Hungry for Power Games! Look, look, I know I'm not supposed to be up here, but let's be honest, neither is Donald Trump.
Security officials rush the stage and pull him off.
How does it take him that long?
They need to be quicker.
Either it was an okayed skit.
They wanted to do it and make it look like they were upset. Yeah.
Perhaps, you know, they got the okay and then the security played along. But regardless, it's pretty funny stuff.
That is funny.
You can check that online. Very
amusing. Hey, Ralph, what time's Chachi speaking? And is he tonight? Do we know?
I don't know when Scott Baio takes the stage.
Okay.
Is he really speaking? Is that
absolutely
a thing?
Absolutely, of course he is.
That's right. Awesome.
Come on! Chachi is going to speak.
Finally,
someone of some weight and some merit who's got a grasp of the issues. Scott Baio will get on stage. No word whether Aaron Moran will be joining him or not. But we did hear that Antonio Zapata Jr. has also been
They're pulling
signed
out
up.
All the stuff.
So he will be on there.
That sounds terrible.
He will be making a stage, hitting the stage tomorrow night to make a speech. Antonio Zapata Jr. says, "It's refreshing to have a candidate like Donald Trump who was so honest about his feelings." So that's why he's supporting Donald Trump. I'm so tired of this being the go-to, by the way, for Trump supporters saying, "Well, he's refreshing. He's honest about his feelings." Look, if you're throwing your parents a 50th anniversary party and a lunatic runs into the ballroom and takes a dump in the punch bowl, that's refreshing, I guess, because no one would do that ordinarily in polite society. But it doesn't make it a good thing just because, wow, that's different. That's refreshing. That's a change. You still have a punch bowl full of dump.
Right.
I feel like that was a strange analogy.
It was.
Have you ever had someone dump in your punch bowl?
I have not, but
well,
I don't think
don't
I'd
know.
Say it was refreshing.
You don't know what the pain is then. You don't understand.
You've had it happen at all?
Sure. Who hasn't?
Where's the Motor City Madmen, by the way? That's the speech I'm missing. Is where's Ted Nugent coming out of this convention?
He's
like
now
these would be his people.
He's now known as the Soul of Detroit Madmen.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay, I didn't realize that.
They changed that.
That's crazy.
Changed that title. Today's celebrity birthdays: Richard Branson. He's a cool dude.
He sure is.
With his airlines and his companies and his being all British and whatnot. It's a pretty good deal to be Dick Branson. 66 years old today. Wendy Williams.
How you doing?
They sure love her. The people love her. How you doing?
It's the best show on TV.
Love the passion.
Yeah. How you doing? How you doing?
The dance mix. She's 52. Vin Diesel's 49. Rapper M.I.A. is 41. She was supposed to be performing in a music festival in the UK, I believe, and then she said she will not be appearing. So M.I.A. will be literally M.I.A.
I think she was dumped from that festival. I don't think it was her choice, by the way.
No.
I think she ran afoul of some of the organizers with some.
I don't think Ralph cares because he wanted to bring up
that joke.
Just trying to make, just trying to make a joke here. Was not looking for the deep background.
It was a terrible joke, though.
Great.
I believe it was something in her contract, and
I'm looking into it now, and I have a team of investigators. We're hoping to release the dossier later on today.
Oh, Bean.
Facts matter, Allie. Darren Malakian from System of a Down is 41 years old today. Kristen Bell. It's in her name. There we go.
Yeah.
36 years old. Priyanka Chopra is also 34 today. And Chance Crawford. Private Eye. Chase Crawford. Not Chance at all, though. Either way, it's a cool name. 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Let me tell you about our friend Zach Levi, by the way, who's going to be joining us in studio in about 15 minutes. He's going to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That's the difference between him and us.
Yeah.
Among lots of other differences between him
sure,
and us.
I mean, he's also a great actor and he's attractive.
Handsome and mm-hmm. cool and popular.
So other than
all
that,
those are different.
That, but yeah. Anyway, that. We'll find out what's going on down there at Nerd HQ coming up in minutes here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Holly Holm from the UFC later on today as well.
Let's go out to Beer Mug, who's out in the wild today. We let him out of the studio for a day. Hey, Beer Mug.
Oh, it's good to be out, gentlemen.
Where are you today?
Today, I am in Covina,
okay,
and we are about to make somebody's dreams come true with a brand new 2016 Honda Civic, and we're going to let them know that 21 Pilots will be playing a private performance for them and 21 of their closest friends at their pad.
Oof. That's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, use of the word pad to mean home or domicile for the first time in 2016.
It's not bad. It's not
that
bad.
Really good.
That's what all the kids say. That's what all the kids are saying.
So for the last month or so, we have been urging you to stop by any Hot Topic store in Southern California, pick up your sticker. Beer Mug, you were out at a bunch of them. You met thousands of people that got these stickers. You fill it out on the back. You enter at krock.com, and this is the grand prize drawing. This is what you were hoping would happen to you, but unless you live in Covina at this point, it is not going to be you. Now, are we looking at a house or an apartment or what here, Mugs? A tent?
We are in front of a lovely docile dwelling. It's a house, a pink house.
What's wrong with you? Stop.
And I believe you meant domicile, right?
Did I say docile? Domicile.
Yeah, it's okay.
Meaning it's
okay.
Not trying to attack you. It right. Seems docile.
It's very passive, this house.
You can just walk right up to it. It doesn't fight back.
Right. Yeah. It's great news. Right.
So it's a house. Now, can you get to the door, or is it a gate situation?
I am 10 steps from the door. All I have to do is walk up, knock on the door.
You should do that.
Surprise.
Okay. Before you do that.
Yeah.
Can anyone watch this? Is there a way that we are streaming this so that people can see it?
I'm glad you asked, Bean. Yes, we are Facebook live streaming this, and then we're putting together a video for krock.com a little bit later.
Oh, okay. All right, Facebook Live. We're going to bring that up. All right, so just like Ryan Seacrest so often did on Knock Knock Live, let's go ahead and tap on that door and see if anyone's home.
Let's go. I'm going up to the door right now. I have my blowhorn.
Why do you have blowhorn. A – you mean a bullhorn?
He calls it a
whatever
blowhorn.
Whatever you call it.
Because he blows into it. He doesn't understand how it works.
All right, here we go. I'm opening the door.
All right.
Open.
Well, you should don't knock.
Maybe
on it.
Knock.
Don't open
I mean,
it.
Opening the screen door.
Oh,
the
okay.
Door.
Okay.
Here we go. Knocking. Here we go.
I think it's going great.
Amico.
Come out. The
Amico,
place is surrounded.
Are you there?
Tell them the place is surrounded.
We have you surrounded.
No, I was just kidding.
Amico, hi.
Gonna come out guns a-blazing.
I hope no one opens fire now. This home was supposed to be docile. Down.
Is Amico there?
Oh, okay. We have really good news for her. I think her mom or something just peeked through the door and said, let me see if Amico's here.
Okay. All right.
I feel like so you should know where well. Amico is.
Why is she not there at 7:15 in the morning? Right.
This is Amico Estrada of Covina.
That is correct. Amico Estrada of Covina.
And that's definitely a female?
Yes. She is a female.
Okay.
So we are currently, I'm going to have to tap dance here. We are currently waiting for her mom to see if she's in the house.
Okay. Shouldn't and mom know that?
I mean, that's I don't know where she was.
Okay.
Beer Mug, I don't know if you knew this, but amico in Italian means friendly.
Very nice. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Fun facts.
We were mocking Allie because she was looking up the information on the name, and she's like, what if we have to stall? And we were like, don't be stupid.
Okay,
now we're stalling.
Amico has opened the door, and what? She looks like she just woke up.
Excellent.
You guys wanna, should I tell her? Do you want me to tell her?
Hand her the phone.
Okay, here you go.
Yeah. Cut Mugs out.
Hello?
Is this Amico Estrada?
Yes.
Would you like 21 Pilots to play a private concert at your house?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And would you like a brand new Honda Civic?
Oh, my God, yes.
You are our grand prize winner.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Were you sleeping just now? Did your mom just wake you up?
Yeah, I just rolled out of bed.
Oh, God bless you, Amico. Amico, did you know that your name in Italian means friendly?
In Italian, in Japanese, it's a happy child.
Well, look at all these different people. All right. We're learning.
We have Amico facts and feelings now. Where'd you get your K-Rock sticker, Amico?
My sticker? I got mine from Hot Topic.
Which one? Which location?
In West Covina.
All right. And you entered on the website. Did you think in your wildest imagination that this is the house that Beer Mug would show up at with the new car today?
No, of course not.
You never expect to win.
Even when you're qualified, you sort of just don't think it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, my little sister is like the biggest 21 Pilots fan.
Oh.
Like freak out.
Oh, that's fantastic.
To see them.
That's great.
Best sister ever.
Is your new car there in front of the house, Amico?
Yeah, I see it.
Well, calm down.
First of all, try to breathe.
And watch your language, for God's sake.
Take a breath. Take some time if you need it. Don't overdo it. You just woke up.
By the way, Amico really did just wake up. I'm watching this on the K-Rock Facebook Live, and she's just rubbing her eyes like the sun is the brightest thing she's ever seen in her life right now. One minute ago, she had her face in a pillow. All right. Well, congratulations. Goodness. You and your friends are going to have so much fun with 21 Pilots. We're so happy for you, and congratulations on winning the 2016 Honda Civic XL as well. We're happy for you, Amico.
Thank you guys so much. It feels like a dream. I just woke up. Oh, not your betrayal.
I'm glad. Beer Mug there will give you the details, all right?
Okay.
But don't let him in the house. That's very important. Yeah. Do not let Beer Mug in the house and do not feed him.
Okay.
Congratulations and thanks for listening to K-Rock.
Usually, we have to drive to San Diego to get an audience with the great Zach Levi, but here he is in the studio at the world famous K-Rock.
The great Zach Levi. I didn't realize this has been added to my moniker.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. I'm back from New York. As we were talking about before, I just finished up doing She Loves Me on Broadway, which was an amazing adventure. I mean, 8 shows a week is no joke. It certainly takes a lot out of you, and I'm happy to be done with that, but it was an awesome journey, and now I'm back and hitting the ground running, and Nerd HQ is coming back for year 6, and I think you guys are going to come down and broadcast with us. I think there's something like that.
Well,
I don't know, maybe.
Well, look.
Wait, hold on. Hold, please. You have a place that we can broadcast from?
Yeah, Nerd HQ, at the event.
Well, that sounds convenient and all. Why would we do that?
Here's the thing, Zach. We were told many times that we were going to, like we do every year, go to Comic-Con.
100%. Yeah.
And then 100%. And then, like, 2 weeks ago, they said, hey, you know that whole thing about broadcasting from Comic-Con? Not happening.
Who said that?
Our bosses.
Well,
so if we can broadcast at your place, then it's back on.
Yeah, come on, baby.
All right.
You know, you guys have always been welcome at HQ.
We're talking to you.
I try to be Santa as much as I can. Yeah. I try.
I will say that when you're in Comic-Con in the middle of that, you are a crazy person.
Yeah,
running every direction and everybody wants you. And you
wear a lot of hats. Putting on your own event is no small task. And fortunately, I have, you know, my incredible partner, Dave Coleman at the Nerd Machine, who is like the nuts and bolts of everything. I mean, he's working so hard all year long when I'm running around doing various acting projects and stuff. But a lot of my work starts when I get there. I mean, I'm hosting all the panels. If I can't, I have other friends like Nathan Fillion, Alan Tudyk, and Aisha Tyler. They help me. This year, I'm going to try and tackle them all myself because I'm not promoting anything while I'm down there. It's just HQ for me. But then there's other little press things and, you know, pop-ups that I got to go and check out and do.
Why do you do it, Zach?
Well, I mean, originally I started doing it because we started the Nerd Machine, which was this, you know, lifestyle brand for nerd culture. And right after we started it, we were trying to figure out, well, how do we activate the brand? And the best place to activate a nerd brand is down at Nerd Mecca, which is Comic-Con in San Diego. And
I assume most of our audience knows what it is, but tell them what Nerd HQ is down there.
Yeah, Nerd HQ is basically my own little Comic-Con at Comic-Con. It's 4 days and three nights. We do panels all day long, but they're really small, intimate, interactive panels. So I just host them. All the questions are fan questions. People just raise their hand. They ask a question, which leads to really fun, crazy, off-the-cuff situations.
And most of the people that you have that are being interviewed are great. Nathan Fillion every year.
Yeah, Joss Whedon. Uh-huh. We've had Tom Hiddleston in the past, the cast of Orphan Black, Stephen Moffat from Sherlock and Doctor Who. We've had Doctor Who panels. I mean, it's a lot of I mean, we try to offer the fans all of their favorites. Whoever and really, you know, all of those people, their schedules are so slammed while they're down there. So it's really just a matter of can we configure this in a way that's convenient for you, or you can come in. They donate essentially like 45 minutes to an hour of their time, and every single one of the tickets that's sold to these panels, and they're very small. They're about 200 people.
That's the beauty of it, too, is it's so small. It's kind of like just a little fun group. It's not like those giant halls.
Well, I mean, look, the giant halls are amazing, too. Yeah. I mean, you feel like a Beatle at Shea Stadium walking out on those stages, but I've always kind of likened them to almost like TED Talks meets Inside the Actor Studio. The fans get to ask the questions. As a panelist, you get to answer however you want. And if there's a question you don't like or don't get, or you can be like, sorry, I can't help you. Next question, you know? some people might say, what's your favorite color? Red. Next. You know, I mean, it happens real fast and it's real fun. But all of those ticket sales for every one of those seats, which is about, I think, $21.50. It's a $20 seat with some, like, surcharges because we sell them online. But it's a $20 ticket. Every penny goes to Operation Smile.
Which you've done from the beginning, right?
I'm an ambassador for, yeah. Yeah. I've been an ambassador for them for about 8 years. And then we'll do photo booths, Smiles for Smiles, and a lot of celebrities will donate time for that. And people just queue up, and we go bang, 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 and people get a photo, $20 a pop. And this year
most of the time they're blurry because you have to run right in and just keep right on moving. Keep moving. We got a long line.
But sometimes artistically that looks really nice.
Yeah.
And then this year, one of our sponsors, Johnson & Johnson, who they've been connected with Operation Smile for a while as well in the nonprofit world. They've got this really cool app called Donate a Photo, which basically allows people to donate one photo per day, any photo you want, and Johnson & Johnson will donate $1 to a nonprofit that's connected to the app at the time. And so they've come on in a huge way. They're going to set up photo booths. So we're going to do our normal photos, plus they're going to donate money on top of that, which is great. And then our two main co-headline sponsors are AMD, which is basically they power everything video games. And Xbox has come back, and we have all kinds of titles. We got PC gaming, Xbox gaming, and that's all. By the way, the public, it's free to come into
the
event. You just have to register. We get you an RFID bracelet. We know how many people are in and out of the venue. We know if you're 21 or not, so if you can be ordering beverages. But yeah, you can just walk right up, register, and come in and play video games and tech all day long for free. And if you're lucky enough and fast enough to get a ticket for the panels, because they sell out real, real quick online, then you can join us for the panels and just stay tuned on the app because we have the photo booth things as well. And we have parties every single night. Thursday night's open to the public. Saturday night's open to the public. Friday night's our big kind of talent sponsor party that we don't open up to the public because we want people to at least have one night if they're down there where they don't have a camera phone in their face and, you know, constantly having to do that stuff. But it's been great. 6 years in the running and people are still enjoying it. So
how much money you raised, Zach, do you reckon, over the years?
To date, we've raised over $1 million for Operation
Smile.
Wow.
Yeah. About that.
That's
awesome. It's pretty great. And doing it in such a way where you're raising money to bring a smile to a child's face, and in some cases actually save their life. 1 in 10 children born with cleft lips or palates actually dies from malnutrition or infection. So it's not just a cosmetic surgery. In many cases it can be, but even in those cases you're still saving a child's life to the extent that you're saving their spirit. A lot of these kids are born in developing countries and in villages where if you are born with a cleft lip or palate, you are considered a pariah and your villagers might very much, you know, distance themselves from you. Kids are afraid to go outside and just be a kid and smile and feel joy. So it's not only are we doing that, but we're doing it while we're bringing smiles to the talent and to the fans that are down there. It's a really, really fun I've never seen anything like it, which is why I wanted to create it.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
I haven't either. It's a great place, even if you're just down in San Diego for Comic-Con, just to hang.
Yeah, thanks, man.
There's video games everywhere,
yeah,
and couches,
food and drinks.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and the dance parties are really...
I want to go right
couches.
Can we go right now?
No, it is.
He loves a couch.
He loves a couch.
I do love a couch.
Everybody loves a couch.
Hey, Zach, I know we're going to take a break, but I have to ask a couple follow-ups on things you just mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
Number one is the reason we don't see very many cleft palate kids in America just because we have the luxury of living in a country with first world medicine and it can easily be repaired?
100%. It's fascinating because normally if you see any evidence of a cleft lip or palate, and I've had many friends growing up in the past, by the time you ever meet a kid with a cleft lip or palate, it's already been fixed. In Western medicine, specifically in the United States, it's a go-to surgery. That baby's born, it's immediately taken care of. They might have to have, depending on the severity of it, they might have to have follow-up visits with a particular surgeon. But you're never going to see a big gaping hole in a child's face. In developing countries, that's just not the case. You know, it's a pretty common occurrence.
And it's so easily repaired.
It's $240 and 1 hour of donated time from
amazing.
A surgeon, an anesthesiologist, and a nurse. Yeah. And that's one of the things that attracted me so much about it. It was something that was quantifiable. I could go to people and say, give me $240. I've got an organization that has all of these, you know, amazing experts that donate their time all over the world, but $240, and you know that you saved a kid's life. And then, you know, for $1,000, that's about four kids. And so, and people can really wrap their head around that. Plus, we do like fun auctions online and sometimes live at HQ. And I'll literally just be selling off crap out of a bag. Like, here's an old t-shirt from Chuck. Here's a mug I got from Wendy Williams. I'll sign it. How much you want to pay for it? People are like, $20, $40, $100. I go, how about one smile? And someone's like, $240. I go, boom, that's one kid right there. And they get it. Like, it goes through your head. You realize that Wendy Williams mug.
Williams mug.
Yeah.
I feel like I need that.
We'll work on that.
How you doing?
All right. Zachary Levi is here, founder of The Nerd Machine, talking about Nerd HQ. By the way, thenerdmachine.com is where you're going to go. And is there a special site just for HQ or no?
No. You can just go right to thenerdmachine.com.
Okay, cool.
And plus, we have an app that I believe you can download at the Apple Store and on Android. Just look for the Nerd HQ app.
Well, we're going to talk much more about what's coming up in San Diego this week, including the five additional panels that are going on sale today. And Zach can tell us about those as well when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Download the podcast at Kevin and Bean or KRock.com.
I don't care.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. That was abrupt.
That was sudden.
That was odd, wasn't it? Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here, our friend Zachary Levi in studio with us, thenerdmachine.com,
We will be broadcasting from at Comic-Con.
Yeah, man.
Apparently that is
right?
Happening, yes.
Hey, Bean, have we run that by our bosses?
Not even a little bit.
Okay.
Not even
a little bit.
Well,
we are now.
Yeah.
Right.
Putting them on notice. If they listened, they would know.
That's right.
Unfortunately, they stopped listening to your show years ago.
So July 21st through the 24th. So that's Thursday? Is that what it starts?
Yeah, that's right. Thursday through Sunday.
At the New Children's Museum in San Diego. You
yep.
are back at that location
yep,
benefiting
yep.
Operation Smile with so much great stuff happening this year, including, as you mentioned, Orphan Black. The cast of Teen Wolf is going to be there.
Yep.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Workaholics.
Yep,
the
yep.
list goes on and on and on. What are you doing with the Star Trek? This is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. You got something going on, right?
I would love to have anyone and everyone from Star Trek. They are very, very, very busy people. That's kind of the double-edged sword of it, and it's an awesome thing for all of these people to be so busy and to be working, and I commend all of them and bless all of them, and that's great. It's not super conducive to grabbing them for even an hour sometimes to get over
gotcha.
To HQ. So, you know, we'll see. Look, sometimes things pop up last second.
We have mystery guests and mystery panels
yeah,
on the
who
schedule
are they?
As well.
Well,
who are the
if I told
guests?
You, it wouldn't be a mystery,
but
folks.
Who are they?
It's a good point.
Name two.
Well, there's me.
Okay.
There's also me. And
okay.
And then some other people.
So close.
You were so close.
So, Zach,
what about Wendy Williams? Is she at
those? You're moderating.
Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams.
You're moderating. By the way, that would be amazing
panels.
If we could get yes. There you go. There's that Wendy Williams. I am I'm not moderating any of them. I host them.
You host them,
but I don't
okay.
moderate them. I mean, look, if there's a lull in the conversation, which every once in a blue moon, if there's, you know, some of the audience members are so tongue-tied that they don't know what to ask. I'll ask a question, or I'll kind of prompt something or instigate something.
Going.
Yeah, just keep it going. Or you know, and oftentimes I just sit there, and if there's a fun moment, to just throw a little zinger in or a joke just to keep people light and laughing. I'll do that. But
you put together some of the weirdest panels this way, where you just like grab a friend from here and a friend from there, and they're not related in
100%
in a work way.
100%.
That's so fun.
And you know what? Honestly, those have been some of the more fun panels. I think the mystery panel itself, every year, we genuinely don't know who's going to be on it.
I talked to you just before one of those, I think last year or the year before, and I mean, it was 5 minutes. And you're like, I don't know,
we're waiting on two people. Other people said they might come, but we don't know. Look, it is just a kind of way, you know, the cookie crumbles down there, but it makes it very exciting. And the audience knows. I tell them every single year, when you buy a mystery panel ticket, the mystery might be, it's only me. That's it. So hopefully it'll be more than just me. But yeah, it's super fun. I mean, I like hosting things. I've been a host of game nights at my house for many years. I like hosting parties. One of my favorite things in life is to look around. I'm happiest when I'm looking around something that I've created or been a part of creating, and I just see smiles on people's faces. That's what makes me happy. So if we're doing panels and I look out at the audience and they are just, you know, pigs and
slop,
there you go. and just so elated to be there or doing photos or hanging out and playing games or at the parties, at the dance parties every night. I'm the one, I'll be on the dance floor. I got a drink in my hand and I'm ready to rock. And I'm going around and splitting around and be like, how you doing? You good? You good? You good? Cool. Blast it. Let's go. And we're all dancing and just seeing people lose their minds. Having a grand time is just so fulfilling, you know, and to know that hopefully we're doing well as a business. I mean, I believe in what I call conscientious capitalism. We started it because we wanted to do good as a business.
Right.
I want to be more than solvent, but if we can do that and simultaneously raise a boatload of money for nonprofit for Operation Smile, to me, that's a win-win
and
scenario.
How's that going? Has it been difficult? Or are you?
We've raised a lot of money for charity.
All right.
The business side of things has been a little slow going. But look, any investment you make in life, you know, if it pays off in a year, 2 years, that's not a norm.
Right.
You gotta, you know, it's the long haul. And this is now year six. And we're just getting into that place of like, all right, I think
we're going to break even.
I think we're going to do okay this year. There you go.
Zach, maybe she's your answer.
Wendy Williams?
Yeah.
Was your first Comic-Con?
My first Comic-Con was actually the very first year we did Chuck, 2007.
You've seen it change a lot over the last 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years, it has been fascinating. And the 10 years prior to that I wasn't privy to, was really, I think, when Comic-Con in San Diego started becoming this go-to spot, not just for comic enthusiasts or toy enthusiasts, or cosplay, which is costume play,
right.
You know, dressing up and whatnot, which, by the way, is amazing down at San Diego Comic-Con.
You're talking to everybody in this audience basically goes to San Diego.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and dresses up.
Fantastic. Hey, everybody. but also it's become the go-to stop for entertainment. I mean, it's almost I would almost call it more like Entertainment Con than a Comic-Con.
It's, yeah. It's outgrown the name for sure.
Well, I think what happened is about 20 years ago it's when Hollywood really started tapping into all of the IPs that came out of comic books and whether those were like kind of mainstream or they were kind of more fringe things, that's when Hollywood was like, well, look, we have our kind of core like fan base down here that knows these comics, so let's go and at least give them some love, talk to them, they'll go viral, hopefully literally online, and start talking about how much they appreciate something. And that's turned out to be a pretty winning scenario. So over the last 20 years, it's just grown and grown and grown in that regard. And, you know, it's massive. It's so – I remember the first year I went down, me and Josh Gomez, we were going down to promote Chuck. And by the way, the show hadn't even aired yet. We showed the pilot to 2,000 fans there who all really dug it. Adam Baldwin being in the show, I think, really is what saved our asses, because he had already a good following from shows like Firefly. And, you know, anything Joss Whedon, I mean, that's just,
sure,
you know,
that's
canon down there. But, and people really dug it. But Josh and I were both, we were sharing a limo. We were going down to San Diego, and the driver got lost. He didn't know where he was. And so Josh and I kind of look out the window and we see like four stormtroopers and three Harry Potters, and we're like, I think we found it. I think we found it. And sure enough, man, it was just an amazing experience. Josh and I had both wanted to go to Comic-Con when we were younger. It just was never really in the cards, and neither one of us are really big cosplayers, and I don't. You know, while I collected comics pretty avidly when I was younger, comic books aren't really my jam as much anymore. I read graphic novels, but not comics as much. But I'm still a gamer, and I still love parties, and I still love working. And if I'm doing a job that people at Comic-Con would like to interact with, and, you know, we can go talk to those fans, then I'm all about it. And a lot of that's kind of what HQ spawned out of.
You became Comic-Con royalty with Heroes, too, I would imagine. I mean, that's a whole other level.
Comic-Con royalty.
I don't know.
King Zach. How does it sound?
I would put myself more in the Duke or Earl category. I think that there are much bigger royal family members, okay. If you will. Right. But, hey, I'm happy to be a part of the family.
Yeah. Okay. You're royal adjacent.
Royal adjacent, sure. Why not?
All right.
I'm a baron.
You're third in line.
I'm baron.
Yeah, actually,
too.
Baron sounds cooler anyway.
It's not when you're a lady.
Baroness?
No, baron. She said baron.
Oh, baron?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's sorry, that's a little too close to home for you, Alan.
Hurt.
That's
yeah.
Well.
All right. Took a turn.
We're
it
almost out of
did.
Time. So today there are tickets going on sale for some of these panels for the first time, right?
Yes.
As far as we understand it,
yes. I have another panel that's going for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Amell has another panel. That's going to be kind of a mystery panel, too. So
okay.
It's like a Stephen Amell and friends, and we may or may not know who those friends are going to be. They might not even be Stephen's friends.
I know this
it might just
really
be me. I'm his friend. It might just be me.
I know this
me.
Sounds sketchy, folks, but trust us. It's
just, you got to trust
will have
it.
A good time.
You just got to trust. I mean, look, Stephen Amell is,
yeah,
he
best.
Sells out his own panels anyway.
Yeah.
So when he said he had another window, I said, look, give me another window. You'll sell out anyway. And if we have some other cool peeps that can come and join us, then that'll just be more fun for the people.
Yeah.
You know, one year, Richard Madden, when he had just been killed off of Game of Thrones, spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't watched past
yeah, you're fine.
The third season. And if you haven't, then tough.
Bad on you.
But we were doing a panel. And then all of a sudden, like halfway through the panel, or I mean, he was doing his panel. I was out there hosting it. And then out of nowhere, Matt Smith and Jenna Coleman from Doctor Who just bust in the door. And then all
why?
Of it, because Richard and Jenna were dating at the time. I think they still are. And Matt Smith and Richard knew each other. And, you know, so then it was like Chuck and the Doctor and the Companion and the King of the North. They were all just sitting on a stage together. And the people lost their minds. It was so much fun. So those things happen. And that's why we always kind of put like a mystery or and friends, because you never know. It may end
that's
up.
That's a lot of the fun of it.
It is.
It really is.
It
a
is.
Lot of the fun
it,
of it is. You don't exactly know what's going to happen.
Yeah, not yes. always.
It's such a good thing.
Not always, yeah.
Such a fun
and
thing.
And I like spontaneity. I like surprises.
Yeah.
It's a mystery toy in the Cracker Jack. You just don't know what's
exactly.
going to happen.
Exactly. And all hopefully right. it's that cool decoder ring and not some weird top that you go, wait, it just spins?
That sucks.
Just not another iron-on tattoo. Come on. TheNerdMachine.com. And if you're heading down to San Diego, if you missed this part of the story earlier, it's free to get in. You can just show up and walk around and play games.
But you have to
have
register.
Fun.
You do have to register. Yes, that's
yeah.
right.
And then, of course, you can also buy tickets for the panels, what's available left. Zach, it's always a pleasure. And it sounds like we'll be seeing you on Friday, my friend.
Yes, sir. I
yes,
can't wait.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Congratulations again to Amiko Estrada of Covina. She thought it was a nightmare she was waking up to with beer mug knocking on her front door at 7 o'clock in the morning. But it turned out pretty well for her because she was the grand prize winner of the 2016 Honda Civic XL, and she'll have 21 pilots playing her house at a private performance. So congratulations, Amiko. Way to go. Ralph, I understand you've got 21 pilots tickets for their show at the Forum coming up next hour.
I do. We're playing a little game for people who would like to win the chance not only to see 21 pilots, but a meet and greet with the band at the Forum.
All that 21 is, of them.
Yep, you get to meet all.
Pretty cool.
In a row.
There's,
line them up.
There's
and
actually
then,
two.
It's like a gun salute. Just go one. Just go down there and so you meet
guys.
All of them.
So that is coming up less than 1 hour from right now. If you're a 21
sound.
Pilots fan,
just,
though,
just two guys.
First, third time.
That besides me?
Only
show
two.
Beat.
No.
On
a Monday.
Only
here's
two
Rob.
Of them.
Here's the thing about Allie. She is. She.
Yes.
She is inquisitive.
Sure.
Passionate.
Right.
Especially when she loves a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we had poor Patrick Fugit in here
yes.
last week?
Yeah.
He's in a show called Outcast.
Mm-hmm. Great show. Don't quite get it. Had a lot of questions.
Boy, did you.
She would ask like 10 questions at once, just rapid fire.
And it was not ending. It was ceaseless.
It was a machine gun. It was a barrage.
Patrick came out of the studio like woozy, and he was like holding on to the wall.
Yeah.
It's like he had run a gauntlet. Mm-hmm. If anyone had missed that, I think it's important to recap that real quickly. Here's a little segment of tape. The best of Ali, and it's set to music. It's the work again of our good friend Lou Thomas, who comes up with these amazing songs.
Oh dear!
So I'd like to, for the first time anywhere, I'd like to debut this song. Please enjoy.
Well, explain to people that are listening that don't quite know what the show's about. You're basically a kid, a man now that was possessed by demons as a kid. But not really, but you got one out of your mom, but we're not sure yet.
Well,
and now you're getting demons out of all random people, but what's this black tar coming out of him? What's the breathing? But he becomes this kind of hermit and sequesters himself away from everyone he loves because he's afraid of who he thinks he might be. You're the thing about Kyle, I feel, because I was huge To Kill a Mockingbird fan, he's Boo Radley. He's just this hermity guy, but he has so much good to give. And obviously, you're trying to help all these people in the town. And why is everyone in the town possessed by a demon? What is happening in that town?
Yeah.
And can you not move? And why don't you ever do your dishes?
I don't know.
So in this show, though, you now know just by touching someone that can seem totally normal if they are possessed just through your touch.
Yeah.
So that's new. But also, with the breathing in, all these people try and breathe your breath, but are they trying to get stronger by taking the souls you've internalized that you've outcast from other people, but now they're in you? It's the soul. Why are you laughing?
I'm so serious right now. Take it easy.
But then, once it does kind of go, and it's gotten to the point where, oh no, it's over. This demon is now out of him. It turns into this black tar. Then it looks like birds. And then it just dissipates into the air. Where does it go?
We don't know yet.
But you know. I want to know now. It's like the souls of all the outcast demons intertwined into one big gooey substance.
It's like,
and didn't you get another season before it even premiered? Which is kind of a nice thing.
Allie likes a show. There's stuff she needs to know. On and on and on she rambles, curious, so curious. There is no escaping now, the guest is getting furious. Allie's questions, when the world turns into ten. So much questions, and it's never gonna end. Tell me all the spoilers now.
She goes on.
She wants the spoilers.
She likes to go on.
I felt like that one question was very concise.
It was.
I felt like none of that was concise.
Lou Thomas, by the
Lou
way.
Lou Thomas, come on, everybody. Yeah.
He does good work.
That's excellent work. How about apologize to Patrick Fugit as well.
Loved it.
How about a pair of tickets to the K-Rock advanced screening of Jason Bourne?
That's what I'm talking about.
I think I was talking
about. Oh, right, right.
Yeah,
you were.
Right, yeah.
Right.
This, of course, another in the Bourne series. Matt Damon returns to take on the role of Jason Bourne. Tommy Lee Jones also stars. Alicia Vikander is in this film as well. Get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening that we're having at the Pacific Grove Theater on July 26th. The movie's in everywhere in theaters on July 29th, but you will see it before anybody else if you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers through at that phone number get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Jason Bourne. You know his name.
Can't wait.
Says it right there on the poster. You know
his
name.
He's a solid, solid person.
Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Branson, 66 years old today. TV talk show host Wendy Williams.
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? How you doing?
By the way, that's not an exceptional clip. That's every show, every day.
I don't know how, what they feed those people or what
cocaine?
What gas is released through the vents to get them to react that way for a Wendy Williams show, but they're happy to be there.
How you doing?
Vin Diesel's 49 years old. Rapper MIA is 41. Darren Malakian from System of a Down turns 41 as well. Kristen Bell's 36. Priyanka Chopra celebrates her 34th birthday. and Chase Crawford is 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk to Holly Holm in the 9 o'clock hour here on K-Rock and find out what her plan is to regain the championship in the UFC. That'll be fun coming up on K-Rock. First, though, this Pokemon Go is not over yet, you guys.
Did you think it would be?
I was hoping. I can't keep up with how many Pokemon Go stories there are of crazy things that are happening to people. There was the guy in the place in California that apparently was a Pokestop that is a home for sex offenders that all sorts of kids showed up at.
Wow.
That's happening. There was a guy, I want to say he was like in Australia or New Zealand, who quit his job to go hunting for Pokemon full time.
Oh, dear.
That's a guy that just hated his job, right?
Maybe, but I think he had like, he caught like 80 already so far, and it just drove him crazy that there were others still available that he hadn't caught yet. So that's what he's going to do.
How many are there? 150?
I think there's about 150.
Right now. Yeah.
Right now. And then there's this story about a guy who is now single because his girlfriend discovered he was cheating on her. At least that's her interpretation, because he was spotted playing Pokemon Go at his ex-girlfriend's house. I think we've got a news report on it.
According to the New York Post, Pokemon Go is now responsible for breaking up relationships. The paper reports that a Queens resident, Evan Scribner, had just finished, quote, canoodling with his ex-girlfriend in Brooklyn when he decided to open the app to catch some Pokemon while on his way to the train. As many of us now know, the app uses your phone's mapping software to record where each Pokemon is captured, which pretty much means your footsteps are being tracked every time you play the game. Scribner thought he was being slick, but when he returned home, his girlfriend got her hands on his phone and opened the Pokemon Go app to track his progress. According to the presumably now single Scribner, she saw that I had caught a Pokemon while at my ex's house. She found out last night at my house and hasn't contacted me since then.
All right, I have many questions. And the first of which is, what qualifies as canoodling these days?
Yeah. I think it's really pretty going broad.
On there? Well, obviously they, you know.
You think they were doing
sex.
It?
Yeah, of course.
You think so?
Of course.
He didn't just stop by to say hey.
No.
Okay.
It was his ex.
And did his girlfriend, it sounded to me like very aggressively went for his phone and went through his phone to find out where he'd been. Do you think she had some suspicions already and she was just going through his phone to confirm those suspicions?
I mean, I can't imagine any other scenario except for, I can't imagine any other scenario. Why go through where he caught them? Mm-hmm. If...
Like, I don't play, but does it say right under like the
picture? Yeah, it gives a location of where you caught this Pokemon.
Well, that's concerning.
This character, and then it's her address. And she's like, hey, what about this one? When did you catch this one at this house?
At 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
The only other possible explanation is that she is also a crazy Pokemon Go player, and she just wants to know every detail. But
then what is she going to do? Just retrace all the steps he took to get him?
I don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But if he's off playing Pokemon Go, leave him anyway. That's what I think. So that's how he got caught, if this story is to be believed. And we thought it might be fun because this is the first. As far as I know, this is the first person who's lost his girlfriend while playing Pokemon Go. We thought it might be fun to find out the stupid ways that you either got caught cheating or found out somebody was cheating on you. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1060.
So this is not necessarily Pokemon Go stories. This is
not at all.
You were
right.
An idiot.
Yeah.
And you got found out how.
Yeah, you didn't cover your tracks, or your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife did not cover his or her tracks. How did you discover the person was cheating on you in a way that they probably could have gotten away with it if they had thought it through a little bit more? So 1-800-520-1067, that's the phone number if you want to be on the air. Of course, you can always text us at the number 2KRQ as well. Allie, this happened to you?
Yeah, sure did. I was dating a guy for about a year and a half in college, and he was being honored by his college, which happened to be up in Canada. He played basketball up there. He did a lot for the community. He was being honored to go back, get this honor. Great. I had finals. I couldn't go. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal. He's going to be there with his family, have fun. What an amazing thing that you get to take part in. Fast forward about 3 weeks over at his mom's house for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. I go to the fridge to get a soda out, and I see an article from whatever, the Cape Breton Times, whatever it was. And there he is with his date in a great picture.
With his date?
His date, his ex-girlfriend of 2 years prior. So that was fun to see on a fridge at his mom's house, smiling in my face.
So he was photographed and it ended up in the newspaper.
Yes.
If it hadn't been for them publishing that photo in the paper, you might never have known that he had gone with his ex-girlfriend.
Right. And was his mom trying for me to see it? Like, let me just leave this on the fridge so they break up. Yeah, now, good
times.
Didn't
she like the other girl better?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Can you blame
her? Did he just take her to the ceremony or was there canoodling?
Oh, he took her to the ceremony, if you know what I'm saying. Absolutely.
Black guy or white guy?
How dare you?
I'm just asking because basketball player makes me think one thing.
Why is that offensive?
Canadian makes me think another. I'm confused. I'm torn.
I believe there are actually black guys in Canada. I read that somewhere. Yes, but he was a white guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wasn't very good.
Not at all. That's why I'm like, how bad is basketball in Canada if you're being honored, you loser?
Yeah, right?
It all went well. It went real well.
So did you break up with him that night at his mom's house?
I sure did.
Really?
Yep, got in
then
a cab,
did you have
went
to find
home.
Your own ride home?
No, I got in a cab, went home.
Did you think the mom high-fived him and said, I didn't think that would work?
Possibly. Possibly. Yeah.
I can't believe I had to Photoshop your ex-girlfriend into a photo to get rid of this dumb lady. All right, 1-800-520-1067. The strange, unusual, or dumb ways you either got caught cheating or you caught a cheater. Why don't we start with, how about Ethan? He's in Orange. Please, up first on line one.
Hey, Ethan.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. You got caught how?
Okay, so me and my girl had a business relationship, and she picked up a job in Georgia, and I lived in California at that time. We go back and forth. She comes to L.A. I go to Savannah, and you see her. So I started to figure out something's not right, and one of the time I went to actually visit her, I went down there for about a good 2 weeks, and then how I caught her was I saw this legal pad that she, I was writing something on, and I was like, wait a minute, there's like a long letter here. So I started doing the pencil thing that kind of colored the whole thing in to see the indent.
Oh, wait. So
it
you
was
mean
the imprint
it was
of
the
it.
Imprint on the paper. It wasn't the actual note.
No, it was. It was actually imprint. I was like, what is this? Like, this is a pretty long letter. So I started coloring it in. I'm like, really? This letter was done 2 days prior, and I was already there for a whole week already.
Ethan, you are like Nancy Drew.
Kind of, yeah. I wish I made more money, though. So.
Okay.
Nancy does it for the love of justice, though, not to make money.
Right. Come on, Ethan.
So, in other words, the short version of your terrible story is that you found out she was cheating because you saw a love letter, the imprint of a love letter behind on a legal pad. You called her on it, and that was it? No more trips to Georgia?
I called her out on it. She was so pissed off. She kicked me out of the house, and we broke up right there, and I actually had to take
Hold on. She was mad at you?
Oh, yeah. She was mad at me. Oh, yeah. She was mad. She was so embarrassed. She was so embarrassed. She kicked me out of the house. We broke up right there, and I actually had to take a $100 cab ride all the way to Jacksonville to fly back to L.A.
Oh, that's the worst.
All right. Good call, sir. Thank you very much. Let's try Long Beach. Eddie up next, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Eddie, hi.
Hey, so, me and my girl were sharing a car, and we had this thing where every time it broke down, we really couldn't pay to fix it. So we made a joke like, yeah, if one of my friends or ex-girlfriends or something like that would be willing to fix it, we would let it go, either me or her, right?
Right.
And the car broke down, and I happened to see an ex-girlfriend walk down the street, and so I kind of snoozed up to her, hey, how you doing? Went out to lunch. She paid for the car to get fixed. Well, 2 days later, I'm playing basketball with my friends. And then my girlfriend, which is my fiance at the time, walks right up to me and then does this, like, Bruce Lee karate slap on my face and just basically almost knocks me around. And then she pulls out an ID and a credit card of my ex-girlfriend, which is a pretty funny story trying to explain after that.
An ID and credit card from your girlfriend?
Right, because, see, she was the ex-girlfriend, and she was like, well, I'll pay for your car. But she's wearing a little skimpy outfit, so all she had was, her ID in hand.
Why?
That's what she took for everything. She gave it to me. I didn't know where to put it. I just put it in my wallet, and I completely forgot.
Huh.
I'm confused by your
Wait,
story.
Wait, but you and your fiancé had a deal that if you had sex for someone to fix
no,
your car,
sex.
It was fine?
Like if you had like an ex who was dumb enough to just outright pay like an obscene amount of money, then go for it. They're the dumb ones to do it, right? Well, the sad thing was that my car broke down, and luckily I seen her. Got another ex-girlfriend. The ex-girlfriend offered to pay for the car because I gave her a side story. She offered to do it.
Well, I'm sorry the phone's ringing. We got to go.
Thank you for the call, Eddie. How does a guy like Eddie get that many girls?
Right? She was wearing a skimpy outfit. She didn't have anywhere to put it.
She just happened to be walking down the street when my car broke down. Nothing he said was true. 0%.
Leo, Adam, hang on. We got room for your calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. Caught cheating, how? You're next on K-Rock. Talking about the couple in Queens, New York. He was caught cheating on his girlfriend because he caught a Pokemon at his ex-girlfriend's house. And that was it. He would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for Pokemon Go. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want your cheating stories, how you were caught or how you caught your significant other. Who do you like here, Kevin? Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Leo, who's calling from Los Angeles. Hi, Leo. Hello, Leo.
Yes. Okay. So this is what happened. My wife found out I was becoming kind of friendly with a coworker, and she became suspicious. And what happened was I tried to download an app on my phone that gives me a second phone line on my cell phone.
Okay.
It's called Line 2, by the way.
Right.
And I thought it would be a good idea, you know, to snapshot the receipt when I purchased the app.
Okay.
So, and I snapshotted the receipt, and I didn't transfer it to a hidden file. I left it on my regular photo album. So when my wife went to pick up the phone to look through photos to post on Facebook, she found the Line 2 app.
Mm-hmm. How did you explain that? Did you have were you thinking quickly on your feet and came up with another plausible explanation?
Could I answer that, Bean?
Or did you just collapse?
No, he did not. He collapsed. Am I right, Leo?
What happened was I was taking a nap and I woke up, and to be woken up with something like that, it was. I had to think really quick on my feet, and my idea was to tell her that it was because of a second job that I have, and I had to have a second phone line for that second job, and she read right through it.
It was bad for you to have your beauty sleep disturbed. It was worse for your wife to find out that her husband was cheating on her, okay?
Can you guys believe she woke me up for that?
What a bitch.
Thank you, Leo. Let's go to Lynn in Upland, Line 4. This is one of the worst ways ever to find out somebody is cheating. Lynn, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What happened?
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. So here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I go to work.
We cut past the here's what happened for all callers. We're assuming that's what you're calling about.
You were going where?
I was going to work, and my ex-boyfriend, he just was like a douchebag pretty much, didn't go to work. And I was going to work, and he called me. And I'm like, wait, he doesn't call me at work. So I answered it, and he butt-dialed me while having sex with another girl.
Yeah!
So you were able to listen to the cheating happen?
Yes,
I okay. can't maybe, say either maybe of those less words. Of that language on the air. Maybe not those words. So you guys are still together?
Huh?
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate that.
Was he wearing one of those skin pockets with the phone, having sex, butt dialing? What? Where was the phone?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Let's try Danny in Culver City. Let's go to Line 8. I don't know. It's been a rough patch
really
today.
Has.
I don't know why.
Look, we don't mean to be that impatient, but here's the thing. If you're going to tell a story, start 10 seconds before the end. Okay. So if you caught somebody cheating, this is how it happened.
Right.
We don't need to know that you were together and that you were here and you were there and maybe you were in another state and you flew out there to meet her. Let's get to the point. Danny, help us.
Well, I will. And I'm not going to say this is what happened.
Good.
I'm gonna spare you that.
Good.
So, long time listener. I mean, we're talking when Poor Man was on the air.
This is exactly the point we were making. Yes, we don't need any of this. No, but guys, I used to listen all the time. I had a job. I was driving a truck in the early 90s. Come on, Danny, get to the point. Step up, son.
Thank you for participating in the Kevin and Bean Show. Your call is important to us. Unfortunately, you can't tell a f***ing story. The relentless tedium of your story is making us all sick. We here at the Kevin and Bean Show would rather plunge heavy-gauge sewing needles into our eyes than listen to you for one moment longer.
But please continue to hold, and one of our semi-competent representatives will be on the line to give you a prize of little to no value. Once again, thank you for calling Kevin and Bean, but please never, never call us again.
What if I were to tell you,
I think that went well.
Everything you think we've learned, I think we should take one more.
Are you insane?
One more.
I feel good about Frank. I feel good about Frank in L.A. on line two, and I think he's going to bring it. I think it's going to be succinct, and it's going to be entertaining, and we're going to be better
and richer for it. Will you put a dollar on it, Bean?
I will put a dollar down.
All right.
I'm putting money on Frank.
Frank?
Yes.
When Bean bets a dollar, that's like you betting $1,000. So this is big. Tell us your story.
Oh, yeah, this is big, man. What happened was I got caught getting an STD. I gave it to my wife.
Okay, wait, there we go. There we go.
And then get this. I stayed with her, you know, because I felt, you know, I loved her. And then along the way, things were rough, and I noticed something iffy. And so what I did, I installed a GPS in her vehicle and, you know, kept track of it. And no more than 2 months, I caught her stopping at a hotel before she went to work for a whole hour.
Okay, but you kind of breezed past the point where you cheated and gave your wife an STD, by the way.
Yeah,
you're not
yeah.
exactly coming out like a prince here, dude.
No, I'm the bad guy. Yeah, I'm
all right. I earned a dollar. That's great news.
Hang it up. All right, let's clear the lines.
Hey,
what?
Huh? How about your choice? How about your choice to take one more?
I'll be sending you 100 pennies in the mail. All right, what? Let's clear those lines and let's never let any of those people through
let's
again.
Clear them aggressively.
And let's change the phone number here at the radio station so none of those people accidentally call us again. But you can still call before we do that at 1-800-520-106. And we're going to play a game coming up next, and you'll have the opportunity to win tickets to go see 21 Pilots. As you know, they're coming to the Forum, and a meet and greet with the band this Saturday night. If you know your pilots, call now. 1-800-520-106. We'll play the game next on K-Rock.
Let's take one more.
No! Ralph Graven is here. It's Monday morning. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Bean Show. What's happening?
We're going to do a contest.
We would just do a game instead.
We thought we would give away tickets to 21
or,
Pilots.
Or, the Showbiz Beat, let's give away tickets.
Or,
to the 21 Pilots at the Forum.
We can play Know Your Pilots. Hit it, Steve.
No famous pilots. Want to see 21
Pilots. Wait, got the name wrong?
Famous Pilots.
So it's famous Pilots.
Not famous
Pilots.
You said
it twice. Is it famous or just
famous? Instead of Know Your.
I see.
Plug in famous there instead.
And we're doing the Showbiz or we're not doing the Showbiz?
You guys take some more calls from cheaters? Is that why you're...
Want to see 21 Pilots.
Yeah.
We got you covered now. Don't start a riot.
Okay.
Also want to do a little meet and greet.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to hook you up with that treat. Famous Pilots. This is Famous Pilots. They fly so high in the freaking sky. Famous Pilots. This is Famous Pilots.
I think subconsciously I was trying to spare us all from that intro, but Famous Pilots is what we're playing
here. Don't put it on him. Don't put it on Omar.
No, sir.
More than one of us can be bad on the same day. Ralph, 21 Pilots play in the Forum this Saturday night. You get a meet and greet with the band and get to see the show. What is Famous Pilots all about?
Famous Pilots.
Well, Know Your Pilot.
Are you trying to get him to leave? I feel like you are.
I wanted to make sure that some real 21 Pilots fans got these tickets. So these are going to be questions all about just pilots who fly planes. Nothing to do with the band.
I see.
Okay. All right. These are famous pilots who have flown aeroplanes,
right,
legendarily, and that made them famous. Hence, they are now famous pilots.
All right, let's start with Rick in Pasadena. Hi, Rick.
Oh, great. I get to go first. Oh, no. Yes, hello there.
Hey, Rick, I love your attitude. I love your get 'em.
What?
Mentality?
What indeed?
Let's just ask you a question, Rick. Here you go. These guys piloted the very first flying machine on December 17th, 1903 at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
No way. That's so easy.
Just go give us the answer.
The Wright brothers are famous pilots indeed. Congratulations.
All right, I'm putting you on hold, Rick. Okay. I don't know that I can. All right.
You haven't won yet. You are in the drawing, though.
Let's go to Fullerton. Say good morning to Nicole. Hi there.
Hello.
Wow.
Nicole.
I'm nervous. I don't know any pilots.
You might.
You might.
You might know this one. She is the first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean, and she's also famous for disappearing while flying over the Pacific Ocean in 1937. Famous female pilot.
Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart.
Look at you, Nicole. Turn that frown upside down.
Nailed it. Hold on.
Positive attitude really makes a difference.
Let's go to Mike in Whittier. Hi, Mike.
How's it going, party people?
Not
hey,
well.
Mike.
Can I be honest? Not well.
It's a good thing I'm a 21 pilot fan.
All right.
You know a lot about pilots.
That'll help you.
There's only like 8 pilots on the list. You know 21 pilots. All right.
I don't know. Let's go.
This famous pilot executed a remarkable emergency water landing on the Hudson River off of Manhattan in 2009, saving all 155 passengers and crew. He's soon to be played by Tom Hanks on screen in a movie about him. Who is this famous pilot?
I don't know.
He's an American hero.
We're looking for Captain Sullenberger, or Sully, we would have accepted as well. Sully Sullenberger.
That is weak. You're right.
That is weak. He saved 150 lives landing on water.
He landed
in the
Hudson.
It wasn't in the news, so I can imagine why you wouldn't have heard about it.
Let's go to Tyus in La Habra. Hello.
What's up?
Hey, Tyus. In 1929, at the age of 25, this guy became world famous as the result of his solo nonstop flight from New York to Paris in his plane, the Spirit of St. Louis. Who is this famous pilot?
I don't know. Charles Lindbergh?
Yes!
What?
What a stab in the dark.
That's amazing.
And you were right. Hold on.
That's three. Three out of four.
Very impressive.
Let's go to Keith in Los Angeles. Hi.
Isn't it weird that our audience remembers Charles Lindbergh and Amelia Earhart, but not Sully from 6 years ago?
Yeah, well.
It's weird.
Know, Pokemon Go.
Right?
Everybody's busy.
All right. Keith, hi.
Yes.
Keith. Yes, Manfred Albrecht von Richthofen was a famous World War I German fighter pilot, but he's better known by this famous pilot name.
The Red Baron.
The Red Baron is correct. Well done, sir.
Nicely done. You hold on.
All right. You're in the drawing. Hold on.
We're playing
Famous Pilots.
They're all famous pilots.
Kristen in Riverside. Hi there.
Hey, how are you doing?
It's so funny. Both girl callers have gotten questions about female pilots.
Weird.
Here's your question, Kristen. In the James... why are you upset?
Why are you already bummed?
Because I knew Amelia Earhart, but I do not know any other female pilots.
Well, you might. Why'd you wait for the question?
Okay, come on.
All right.
Come on, Ralph.
Why are you slowing her down,
Don't
Ralph?
Don't drag your feet.
In the James Bond movie Goldfinger, this feline named Bond girl was the head pilot for the villain, Auric Goldfinger, in that movie. The name of the Bond girl in Goldfinger, feline named Bond girl, was also the pilot for Goldfinger in that movie.
Hey. Let's go to Michaela.
Everyone doesn't think they're going to get it, and then they get it.
Correct. Yeah. Everybody except for the third one we went to didn't know anything. All right, Michaela, hi.
Hi.
Again, with the attitude.
Yeah. Everybody's bummed, and then they get them.
Michaela, in 1969, this pilot was the first man to walk on the moon during NASA's Apollo 11 mission.
Buzz Aldrin?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. First man to walk on the moon was Neil Armstrong.
I admire you, though, for getting Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, it's creepy.
He was number two. I mean, you were close.
Sorry. Thank you.
All right, one more and we'll go out with a win, you guys. What do you say?
I don't know. This is the hardest question of all.
How'd that work out for you last time, B?
Yeah, maybe you should have quit while we were behind.
Paul in Hacienda Heights, hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
All right. I got a good feeling.
This is going to go well.
This record-setting test pilot became the first man to break the speed barrier in 1947 in an airplane. What's the name of this famous pilot? If you're also new to the right stuff, you know this guy.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. I messed up. I'm all right.
I want whatever Paul is smoking.
Tom Cruise wasn't even in the right stuff.
And I want it right now.
Yeah. Chuck Yeager. Chuck Yeager. Yeager.
Okay. Well, look.
I'm glad
great,
we took that extra one.
Beans,
because game senses are unerring.
Great match of contestants, by the way, because Rick made it into the drawing, as did Nicole and Tyus and Keith and Kristen. Only one, however, will win tickets to go see 21 Pilots this Saturday night and a chance to meet and greet the band backstage. Ella McKay, who's our winner, please?
Cheer up, Nicole. You just won.
Nicole!
Yay! Nicole! Congratulations.
You just made my Monday so much better.
Excellent. Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game. Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56. Just ahead of the showbiz beat, we have a pair of tickets for you to see PSG, which is one of the best soccer teams in France, versus the Premier League champs, Leicester City, at StubHub Center July 30th. The number is 1-800-520-1067. You call now if you're the first caller through that wants those tickets. We will give those to you. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
It is a Monday morning. We always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday. This is no exception. The Secret Life of Pets continues to be number one at the box office for the second week in a row with $50.6 million. Got a chance to see it over the weekend with my kid, and she loved it, and I did too. Great, great cast and a very clever, very funny script and brilliantly animated. Really fun stuff from the people at Illumination behind the Minions and other great shows. Ghostbusters debuted finally after so much talk in the media about the Paul Feig film. It did very well for itself, $46 million. Made it number two at the box office. The Legend of Tarzan was third. Finding Dory was fourth. Mike and Dave Needs Wedding Dates, fifth at the box office. The Purge Election Day was number six. Central Intelligence. Did you see that again this weekend?
I did not.
The Infiltrator debuted with $5.2 million.
Felt like
bad for Bryan Cranston because, you know, he had to pass on Spotlight.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because of this movie?
Because of this movie. It was a contractual issue with scheduling, and he missed out on being in that film. But he ended up in The Infiltrator.
He's great in it, too, Ralph.
$5.2 million this weekend.
Oof. That's a good movie.
Tell your friends, because not many went.
My friends don't ask me for my movie opinions much.
That's stunned. Weird.
Shocking, right?
Huh.
The BFG was ninth, and Independence Day Resurgence rounded out your top 10 movies at the box office. This week, Scott Baio will be speaking at the Republican convention. You might want to mark your calendars.
For Scott Baio?
Yeah, you know, all the Chachi fans will be happy to see him. People poking a little fun about this fact on the internet. I don't know if you've been reading the tweets about it. But, for example, C.J. Jones said, owing to Scott Baio's admiration for Donald Trump, Trump will be naming a border crossing in his honor, Checkpoint Chachi.
Stupid.
Here's hoping Donald Trump appoints Scott Baio Charles in charge of making America great again. That's pretty strong. Trump asked Scott Baio to speak at the convention. It's an episode of Phony Loves Chachi.
Look, I can't.
I like that one.
I can't begin to put myself in the mind of Donald Trump. He's just operating.
No, you can't, because he has the best words, and you don't.
He has the best words.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
He's a really smart guy.
I know he is.
You can't put yourself in his brain.
And I don't mean this critically at all, but I'm asking you seriously. If you were running for president and Chachi endorsed you, would you ask him to speak at your convention?
I think
what are your options?
So many others.
Who's going to speak if not Chachi?
But I mean, how is it a positive though?
Who if not Chachi?
People love Chachi.
Is that okay. Still true?
Yes.
Huh.
Okay. Charles in charge of our nights and our days.
Joni doesn't even love him anymore.
So you support it? You think it's a good move?
I think that's all they got, man.
Okay.
Although, in fairness, they do have Antonio Zapata Jr. also.
All right.
Speaking later in the week, so.
Like Mitt Romney got Clint Eastwood, right?
He did.
That's a star. You get Clint Eastwood up there, now you're talking.
Oh, maybe, and Chachi's not?
Maybe Chachi will talk to an empty chair. Wouldn't that be awesome if he did sort of a tribute? He'll talk to an empty motorcycle and pretend it's Fonzie. I think it'd be really cool if Donald Trump won. What's that you say? I'm with you, Fonz.
That's the only way I would like that speech.
Yeah.
Kevin, there's a channel that's new to me. I hadn't seen it before on DirecTV that is gavel to gavel. It's like the C-SPAN for conventions. So you can see every minute.
Wow.
Not just what the lamestream media chooses to cover. You can see it all.
I can't imagine spending more than 1 second on that channel. I am not in.
I can't imagine spending more than one second.
I don't want to watch it. So maybe it's a better way to say
it. So you'll not be turning on that channel at all, then?
For 1 second.
Why would you go for one second?
I'm not sure why.
Why would you tune in there for 1 second and then change the channel?
I don't know why that came out of my mouth, but I'm sticking with it.
Right. I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Wrong. It just seems much easier to never go to that channel.
That's
rather
what
than go
think.
To the trouble of going there for a second and then going away from it.
Sticking with it.
I'm
don't
afraid
stick with it. I'm afraid I'm going to get bit by a snake, Ralph, so I'm only going to hold on to it for a minute.
Wrong. Something's gone horribly wrong. Is there a gas leak?
Something's off today. Real off.
I don't like mosquitoes.
I don't either, Mr. President. Celebrity birthdays today. Richard Branson, 66 years old. Vin Diesel's 49. Rapper M.I.A. is 41 years old. Darren Malakian, also 41. Kristen Bell's 36. Priyanka Chopra's 34. Chase Crawford celebrates his 31st birthday. And Wendy Williams! Popular TV show host.
This is our audience for every show.
Oh, my Lord.
How you doing?
Oddly enough, that's the same audio from the Republican National Convention when Donald Trump comes out on stage. Be a lot of that. How you doing? How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
I feel like you're doing it right.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I love what he just said.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This Saturday night at the United Center in Chicago, it is UFC on Fox number 20. We will all be tuning in because our friend Holly Holm is back in the octagon. The Preacher's Daughter joins us back in studio here on the Kevin Beach Line. Hey, Holly.
How are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, fight week, how are you feeling?
I'm hungry. I'm irritable. I'm sleepy.
Yeah, that whole weight thing. What's the forgive me if this is a dumb question and I should know the answer to this, but what kind of leeway do you have to that 135 pounds? How much are you allowed to be either over or under, if at all?
Well, you say if you're fighting for the title, you cannot be 0.01 over. Otherwise, then you can't fight for the title, but a lot of times, other than that, you get a pound allowance, so you can be 136. I take my pound.
Is that difficult? Does that suck to make weight?
To have to be right on?
The thing is, I think that with it just comes with it. I've never had a fight where I haven't. I mean, in boxing, I fought as high as 154. So, yeah, those fights, I didn't really have to worry so much. I just worked out hard and ate healthy still because I didn't want to be sluggish. It's not like I was eating french fries every day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I wound up weighing in, I think, at 152. I was 2 pounds under. That's rare. That. So, you know, but I fought a pretty broad range, you know, from 35 to 54. So I fought in four different weight classes, three in boxing and then 135 in MMA. So it's, yeah, this is the lightest weight that I have ever fought and could ever make. So,
yeah,
but I get there. It's not, you know.
Yeah, you do it. So. Now, you are famous for your preparation. No one trains harder than you do and more enthusiastically than you do. I mean, I remember the night of the, what was it? It was back in March, I think, when you last fought, right, in UFC?
Yep.
And I remember the press conference afterward, you said, I am so motivated to start training immediately for whatever the next fight is. I mean, that seems to be your way of life is training.
You know, it's just, it's a passion I have. And every time I'm in the middle of training camp, I think, oh, can't wait till I can have a day off. And then about 2 days off, I think, well, what's my purpose now? You know, it's like, oh, what else? What else is there? And especially after the last fight, you know, it's like a sickness. You know, you have a loss. That's what it feels like. And the only cure to me is a victory. So the only way to make the wrong a right is to get back in there and do it. So, I mean, as soon as the last fight was over, I was ready to just do it again.
Yeah, you said, I want to fight Misha again tomorrow, is what you said at the time, I remember. So what do you think about the turnover with the belt? I mean, four champions in a year. I mean, is that that's healthy for the sport to have so many worthy competitors, I would think, rather than just one person mows
sport.
Everybody down.
Definitely.
It's not healthy for Holly.
But it will be when she gets back to it. Only on its second person still, but...
Right, fair enough.
That's long gone.
So, what kind of an emotional roller coaster is that? Finally getting the belt and then losing it. That's got to
You know,
just...
it's really, and actually the belt aside, it's just victory one of the best victories, and then, you know, defeat, just tasting defeat. I mean, I want to win regardless, whether it's for the belt or not. So for me, it wasn't necessarily like, oh, it's the fourth champion. It's just I wish I was still the champ, because that means I wouldn't have lost my fight. That's what that would have meant.
Right.
So I just hate to lose. That's all there is to it. I don't care what it is. If it's in practice, I still want to punch my teammates, who are some of my best friends. I still want to hit them more than they hit me.
I watched on Fox, I think it's called The Road to the Octagon or something like that, on your mm-hmm. training. And I have two questions. One is, and related to you being so competitive, the guys in the gym say no one wants to run with you because they can't keep up with you, and you call them names.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't seen The Road to the Octagon. Okay. However, some of the runs that I do, I'm not a very fast runner, mm-hmm. but I run a lot. I run 5 days a week, and then on the weekends I do a sprint run.
And you're running to Chicago, I understand, right?
Yes, that would be, you know, my final preparation. So there's a run that my coach, Mike Winklejohn, had showed me, and there's a lot of, like, sprint runs up in the foothills, and there's one that's, it's, like, the hardest. They go, oh, yeah, I go, yeah, I've sprinted here, or I've sprinted this, or I've, you know, sprinted the sand dunes. I'm like, no, you haven't done the hill.
Oh.
And there's a lot of people that go do the hill. We call it the Wink Hill, because Mike Winklejohn is the one who first showed it, or the Hell Hill, whatever yeah. you want to call it.
It doesn't sound fun.
It's not really a hill. Fun. It's a mountain. And there are some that go do it, and they've never gone back after because it's that miserable. It takes
and they've
a
never
lot.
Been seen again. They've just, they just leave them behind, and they're just
There's
lost.
Some that have gone back.
And the other question I have about that is, it seems like if you're coming up in – if you want to fight for the UFC, you have to find the right gym, the right trainer, whatever. And you said in that special that you just – happened to walk into the right gym, which you've never left.
How blessed am I?
I mean, did you know that it had that reputation, or?
You know, actually, I walked into Mike Winklejohn's gym. It was called Winklejohn's Kickboxing, and it was, you know, AKKA style karate. He had, you know, stand-up fighters there, taught for kickboxing and boxing. And through the years, him and Greg Jackson created a partnership. A lot of Greg Jackson's guys would come up, learn the stand-up from our gym, and a lot of our guys started cross-training, wanting to learn the ground game. That's how it started. Then they wound up combining gyms and all that, but I started at Winklejohn's Kickboxing.
Was it just dumb luck?
It was.
Just,
wow.
You wanted
just the neighborhood gym.
It was, you know, I think about, you know, there's paths in life. You think, where would I be if I didn't do this? So I went to high school at a different, in Albuquerque. I lived on the outskirts in like a smaller town. And I hated it. I was so mad at my parents. I didn't want to. I'd been, you know, with my best friend since kindergarten. I didn't want to leave, go to a different school. But if I never would have gone to Albuquerque for that school, because it was right down the street from what the high school I went to,
mm-hmm.
which is a half hour away. The friends
knows?
That I met there, yeah, were like, hey, I go to this, you know, cardio aerobics class. And I was like, well, soccer season's not here, so I'm going to do it. I'll keep in shape. Started doing it. Started watching some of the sparring classes. Thought, ooh, I want to try that. And it's like, if I never want to change high schools, I don't even know what
You'd
I
be working
be
at Dairy Queen right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, who knows, right?
You'd be the most competitive Dairy Queener ever, though.
Then again, maybe yeah. I would have just gone to college. Oh. Got a degree. I don't know.
There's that.
This is the voice of Holly Holm here on the Kevin Beach Show, talking about UFC Fight Night, which is going to be for free on Fox this Saturday night from the United Center in Chicago. I want to talk about your opponent for this weekend, but permit me, please, Holly, to ask just one more question about the last fight. Mm-hmm. And that is, were you harder on yourself because you know you won 95% of those five rounds? Did that make it even harder to lose the way you did?
No, I think, you know, I'm no matter what, she won. And I always try and keep the things most honest to myself, because that's the only way I'm going to get better. And I don't want to lie to myself. She got the finish, and I let my guard down way too soon, made a big mistake. I think the only thing that kept my ego somewhat intact is that I know that I was winning the fight. Mm-hmm. So I try to take the positive things from what I did right and then learn from the things I did wrong.
How long did it take you to do that, to not get too down on yourself?
Oh, I'm still...
Still brutal on yourself?
Well, that sounds like a good attitude, though. I mean, because yeah. you can learn something. I mean, there were a lot of positives for you, a lot of things you can use going forward. And you also now have, I think your eyes are even open wider to the places where you need help, too.
That's right.
So that makes a lot of sense. All right, tell me about Valentina. Now, she has already lost to Amanda Nunes, right?
Yes, but in the third round of their fight, she was taking over. And if that fight would have been longer, she would have won. And so...
So she's no joke.
No, she is no joke at all. And she's, you know, everybody talks about my boxing background. She has more Muay Thai fights than I do in boxing.
Oh, wow.
And so she's very talented, very tough. People maybe haven't heard her name that long because she hasn't been in the UFC that long. But I know that my hands are very full. And, you know, right now, the champ is Amanda Nunes. And my opponent was winning that third round, started to take over. So, you know, you look at the competition out there, and I'm telling you, I have my hands full with Valentina. It's not an easy fight.
When you get to this level, there's never an easy fight, would assume.
No, never. And really, it doesn't matter who it is. Anybody has a chance. I mean, somebody can come in, work hard, and believe in themselves, and you never know what's going to happen. So, and anybody has a puncher's chance. I don't care who you are.
Yep. Will you get any kind of crowd advantage being the American up against the Peruvian?
Well, you know, I think they have a little bit of hometown-ishness there. Do you like that?
I'm not sure that's a word. I'm not sure that's a word, but we'll accept
it. Are you going to argue?
I'm not going to argue.
But you knew what I meant.
Yes, I did.
So, my wrestling coach is from there.
All right.
So, he travels back and forth all the time. So, I've been up to Chicago quite a few times to wrestle, and we were just joking this morning. We were just saying that he's like the mayor of Chicago, just joking around because he just kind of knows everybody. But
all right,
yeah. So it's kind of like hometownish, I guess.
Yeah, and you don't have to travel too far for the fight, which is nice.
That's right.
How mad would you be if we went out and raided the vending machine here at K-Rock and brought in all the junk food and put it in front of you?
You know what? I would sit here and talk about it because actually talking about it makes me feel a little better.
Oh, it does.
Sometimes I make cookies and just give them away because it like makes me feel satisfied.
What?
You're a glutton for punishment is what it is.
You have your own willpower.
You don't eat one?
Sometimes I'll take a bite. I take a bite and I go to eat the rest.
All right. Well, have yourself a great, great week. You have always been very kind to come in and spend some time with us here.
Thank you so much.
Well, we love you, Holly, and we're rooting for you. We're very excited. Again, it's July 23rd, this Saturday night at 5 from United Center in Chicago. You can watch it for free on Fox. It's UFC on Fox number 20. Good luck to you, Holly. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Well, to 6.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:46.
One more time for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Because it's Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Secret Life of Pets. Number one for the second week in a row. Made $50.6 million. Then Ghostbusters debuted to $46 million. Pretty good size opening weekend.
Saw it, loved
film.
It.
Saw it, loved it.
There you go.
A lot of fun.
Legend of Tarzan was third. Finding Dory was fourth. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Days came in at number five. The
Saw
Purge.
It, loved it.
You want to just get through any other films that you saw and loved before we move on?
Go ahead.
Top of the Purge, Election Day?
Did not see that yet, no.
All right, let me mark that one down. Kevin not seen
No, it's okay.
For those of you who are keeping track at home, Central Intelligence, well, we know. We got that covered. It's several times Kevin saw that.
Twice.
The Infiltrator?
Saw it.
Saw it? Loved it?
Loved it.
Okay, saw it, loved it. Number eight at the box office. The BFG, number nine?
Did not see that.
Kevin did not see.
You don't have to. You don't have to make notes.
No, if this is going to be a thing, I want to make sure we're thorough.
All right.
Independence Day Resurgence.
I did see it. It was terrible.
Saw it. Did not love
Right. You don't need to write it down, though.
Well, I think we're going to have to recap this.
Do you guys know anyone who sees more movies than Kevin?
No.
I love going to movies.
I mean, somebody with a job and a family who sees more movies than Kevin?
But just barely on both, though, right?
How dare you?
Barely job. You know, wife does most of the family raising. He's like a satellite.
Really. I want a good movie.
That's the first primary thing in Kevin's life. Secret Life of Pets. Speaking of animated films, a lot of Disney fans upset with Donald Trump's choice for Vice President Mike Pence. Former governor of Indiana, Mike Pence.
Disney fans?
Oh, Disney fans are not happy with Mike Pence.
Huh.
Because
of his conspiracy theory that he thinks Mulan is liberal propaganda.
Oh.
What?
I knew that he hated the woman's right to choose and the gays.
Yes.
I didn't see his impact on Mulan.
Well, it ties into his hatred of women, that he believes that Disney produced Mulan as a liberal conspiracy to change a people's opinion about women serving in the military.
Wow.
It is some Alex Jones level insanity,
wow.
By the way. You should read this op-ed piece. Fascinating. Let me read you a little of it. Despite her delicate features and voice, Disney expects us to believe that Mulan's ingenuity and courage were enough to carry her to military success on an equal basis with her cloddish cohorts?
Oh, no.
Obviously, this is Walt Disney's attempt to add childhood expectation to the cultural debate over the role of women in the military. Well, obviously, Mike Pence.
This is an Onion article.
Nope.
This can't be real.
I suspect that some mischievous and liberal at Disney assumes that Mulan's story will cause a quiet change in the next generation's attitude about women in combat. And they just might be right. Just think of how often we think of Bambi every time the subject of deer hunting comes into the mainstream media.
Do we think of that?
I guess he does. That was sad, though.
It was really sad.
It was, yeah. And I think he's absolutely right. I think we do think, a lot of people think of Bambi when they think of deer hunting.
Yeah. But we still kill the deer, though, right? Don't get me wrong. Those deer have to die. Freaking deers. You know, we need to deport them all.
Alive.
Get rid of all 11 million deers. Build a wall around the forest while we're at it.
I think Governor Pence's attitude on Mulan is about 28th in the reasons why we should be worried about this dude.
Well, I was just bringing up Disney. Disney fans have a problem.
Yeah.
So not everybody has to do it. Just Disney people. Hey, Taylor Swift has problems. I don't know if you heard about that or not.
Yep.
She has problems with that Denver radio host. Remember she got him fired because she said that he groped her after a concert? Remember
yeah.
that story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Grabbed her ass like taking a photo or something, right?
That's what she claimed. And the station believed her and so fired Denver radio host David Mueller. He is suing her for slander because he said, I never did that. And your claims got me fired from my radio job. So he's suing her. She's countersuing him for alleged sexual assault and battery charges. So this is all going into court, and their depositions had to be given. And so the Taylor's lawyers went to the judge and said, she'll give a deposition, but she will not be videotaped. And the judge said, oh yes, she will. And so they said, okay, but the guy, David Mueller, he is not to be there when she gives her taped deposition. And the judge said, oh no, he's going to be there.
I like that they keep trying to take
dictate
over.
To yeah. the judge how the terms are going to be, and he'll have none of it. So he will be there. The deposition will be videotaped, but will only become public if the case goes to trial. Until then, neither side is allowed to talk about it at all. What is said in that room during the deposition.
Let me ask you guys this. In general, what are your thoughts on a woman having to be in the same room as the person she is accusing of sexual assault? Like in a courtroom.
I believe it's constitutional that a man has the constitutional right to
face his accuser.
Yeah,
I think so.
I believe
so,
that's good. That's in the whole that piece.
I mean,
of
it's extremely unpleasant. I know it's hard
on that
enough.
Piece of paper.
Yeah, the piece of paper.
It's hard enough to get women to come forward.
No, I agree. That's rough. Said,
but I think we can all agree in Taylor Swift's case, she's in league with Satan.
Well, yeah, right? I mean, that's a given.
That wasn't my takeaway.
That's
on
the
this
given
particular story.
I think that's what the judge was saying.
Right.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Branson, 66 years old today. TV talk show host Wendy Williams is 52.
Actor, how you doing?
Hey, Wendy, how you doing? Actor Vin Diesel is 49 years old. Rapper M.I.A. is 41. Darren Malakian, also 41 years old today. Actress Kristen Bell celebrates her 36th birthday. Priyanka Chopra is 34. She's on that ABC series Slam On.
Quantico.
Slam on.
Quantico.
I think it's Quantico.
Quantico.
Yeah.
I knew it was something with that.
It's not Slam On.
But it's action. It's a lot of action and guns. And what other things do they do there at Quantico? And Chase Crawford, private investigator and also an actor of some note, is 31 years old today. Chase Crawford, P.I. He should be a private investigator with that name.
No question.
Get out of show business. Start tracking down bail skippers. Chase. Chase Crawford. Chase is in his name.
Yeah,
you should
true.
Chase criminals. Ugh, so I have to do all the work for everyone? Stay in your lanes, people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, Carl Urban joins us talking Star Trek Beyond. We have the Bachelorette Report with Ralph and Petros, and we've got your tickets for 21 Pilots along with a meet and greet. We'll see you tomorrow.